summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Reading and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident? And find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 7 with the Sue McClain News Hour. I'll have your up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by free fire radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
What could be cozier than the promise of a homemade meal for your favorite person? This season, stop by Black Bear Diner and pick up some gift cards for your favorite folks. For every $25 in gift card purchases, you'll get a $5 Bear Buck for yourself. Or if you're shopping in, make your buy online for an e-gift or traditional card for delivery by mail. Visit blackbeardiner.com to order. Be sure to allow extra time for mailing. Buy $25, get $5 promotion available in diner only.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In December, we're covering frequently asked questions by you, our listeners, here in Reading and worldwide. And January brings us pearls from the masters of the industry. We'll analyze what advice we like, what we take, and what we disagree with.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book, now is the time to check us out. Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Right, this was their thing. They were going to put out a message about broader progressive values and bigger governments all across the land. Then in 2012, Barack Obama shifted how politics was done inside the Democratic Party. In 2012, Barack Obama lost about 3.5 million votes from his performance in 2008. He had done a terrible job as president. The economy was stagnant. He had gotten us in a lot of hot water on foreign policy. He had led to the rise of ISIS already. He had pulled out precipitously from Iraq. He was making overtures to Vladimir Putin. And he had to come up with some explanation as to why his policies were so unpopular. And the explanation that Barack Obama came up with in 2010, 2011 was one that fit with his generalized worldview, which is if people did not like Barack Obama's policies, it was because they hated him personally. Now, there have been references to this in 2008 when Barack Obama had suggested that the reason people didn't like him is because I have a funny name. I look different than the other guys on the dollar bill. And well, in the 2012 election, he brought that out like full force. He said, we are not going to bother broadcasting. Instead, we are going to narrow cast. Instead of attempting to put out a broad message that maybe people will resonate to, we are going to go in and group by group, we are going to cobble together an intersectional coalition. And that intersectional coalition will be a minority-majority coalition that's going to be largely driven by extensive voter turnout from minority groups. And it worked. He won out 80% of the non-white vote in 2012. And he got the same percentage of the white vote Barack Obama did in 2012 that Michael Dukakis got in 1988 when he lost about 87 states to George H.W. Bush. But thanks to the difference in demographics in the United States, Barack Obama beat Mitt Romney going away in that election even after losing 3.5 million votes. Okay, so Democrats were seduced by that vision. They were seduced by the vision that Barack Obama's coalition was capable of imitation. And Joe Biden has run a very similar sort of campaign to Barack Obama in the sense that he was making overt plays for particular minority groups, an intersectional coalition. Now, what unified the intersectional coalition of Barack Obama were two things. One, Barack Obama's personal appeal, right? The man was charismatic. He also happened to be the first black president, which means that he got extraordinary black turnout in 2012. In fact, increased black turnout in places like Ohio basically meant that he won the election as opposed to losing the election to Mitt Romney. If the black turnout in 2012 had been the same as the black 2004, for example, then Mitt Romney would have been elected president in all likelihood. Okay, so Barack Obama in 2012, he was able to turn people out because of his unique personal appeal and also because he directed everybody against the Republicans by unifying them and saying the Republicans were going to take you back to the 50s, right? This was his pitch to the intersectional coalition. If you're gay, Republicans want to take away your ability to live with somebody who you love. If you are black, they're going to put you all back in chains, as Joe Biden himself said in 2012. If you're Latino, Republicans are going to reinitiate Eisenhower's Operation Wetback. That was the name of national operation, and deport everybody in the United States who's an illegal immigrant. And Obama sort of passed out goodies to various interest groups, and he cobbled together this coalition, and his slogan was forward. We're moving forward from the evil vision of the Republicans of the 1950s and the 1980s, and Mitt Romney is returned to the past. Okay, in 2020, Joe Biden ran a fairly similar campaign, except that instead of saying that he was running against somebody who wanted to bring us back to the 1950s, he said, I'm running against somebody who wants to bring you back to the 1850s. He suggested that Donald Trump was the worst person who has ever been and whoever will be, and he cobbled together this intersectional coalition of anti-Trump people. Now, the problem is the only way that you can continue to maintain that coalition is by maintaining those intersectional priorities. You have to get more and more radical with each element of the intersectional coalition. And the real problem is that where Barack Obama could unite that intersectional coalition through sheer force of personality, Joe Biden doesn't have any ability to do so. So he is going to be forced to parcel out approval to a variety of these sort of smaller interest groups that he's glomming together in order to create his coalition. In other words, he doesn't run the coalition the way that Obama does. The coalition runs him. We're going to get to that in just 1 second. But first, we all know how a VPN protects your privacy and security online, right? But we didn't know until recently, it's taken my TV watching game to the next level, you can actually use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. Over the weekend, I used ExpressVPN to binge, for example, Doctor Who on UK Netflix. You can do that. It's simple. You just fire up the ExpressVPN app, you change your location to UK, you refresh it, Netflix, and that's it. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose from almost 100 different countries, so just think about all the Netflix libraries you can go through. But it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service, Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there. The reason I use ExpressVPN to watch shows, it's ridiculously fast. No buffering, no lag. You can stream in HD, no problem. ExpressVPN, compatible with all your devices, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and more. Head on over to expressvpn.com/Ben. Get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show, watch what you want, and protect yourself at the same time. All by using expressvpn.com/Ben. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Ben. ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Okay, so Joe Biden is run by his intersectional coalition. And he thinks that the way that he's going to be able to please the intersectional coalition is by putting a few token faces in place. Okay, that is the kind of, when I say token, I'm not saying that because I think that you should select people based on race. I'm saying that because that's what Joe Biden believes. Democrats believe this. There's a whole line of thought inside the Democratic Party that he has to have a certain number of black people, Hispanic people, Asian people, gay people inside his cabinet. That somehow this quote unquote represents America. Now, last I checked, what represents America is a diversity of viewpoint because Americans disagree on a wide variety of issues. And also what represents America is the belief that individuals are more than simply their race or their ethnicity or their sexual orientation. But not according to Joe Biden. So Joe Biden, during the CNN interview last night, he says he's going to make sure that his cabinet looks like America, which I presume means that it's going to be 50% male and 72% white, right? I mean, or not, maybe not. Here's Joe Biden.
This is going to be an incredibly diverse. I'm going to keep my commitment that the administration, both in the White House and outside in the cabinet, is going to look like the country. Every advocacy group out there is pushing for more and more and more of what they want. That's their job. My job is to keep my commitment, to make the decisions, and when it's all over, people will take a look and say, I promise you, you'll see the most diverse cabinet, representative of all folks, Asian Americans, African Americans, Latinos, LGBTQ, across the board.
Okay, so he says, you hear him say it right there. The coalition's going to come to me, and they're going to say they want things, and then I'm just going to give it to them. Hey, I'm just going to give them whatever they want. And that is the hope for the Democratic Party, is that they can put together this sort of progressive slash racially based coalition, this new emergent majority, and that they're going to paper over all of it with the veneer of progressivism. That's going to be what the glue that holds it together. That ain't going to hold it together, because the problem is there are some pretty significant cross-cutting tensions inside that coalition. Those are cross-cutting tensions that, by the way, were starting to fissure even during this election cycle. One of the reasons that Donald Trump won an increased share of the Hispanic vote is because the radical progressives inside the Democratic Party were pushing for things a lot of Hispanics didn't like. I would suggest that it also has something to do with the fact that the Democratic Party decided in this election cycle that because they wanted additional black turnout, they were going to solely and completely focus on black voters in a way that they didn't in 2012. There were complaints in 2012 when Barack Obama put together the intersectional coalition that he was pleasing every element of the coalition except for black Americans. There are articles at CNN about this. The article suggested that he was giving DACA to Latinos and he was giving same-sex marriage to gay Americans and that he was pushing forward policies for women, but he was basically ignoring black Americans and taking them for granted. And it didn't hurt him at all because, of course, Barack Obama was the first black president. And in his very personage, there was an idea that he was going to serve the interests of black Americans particularly. Again, this is not me saying this. These are articles at CNN in 2012 talking about this. Joe Biden doesn't have the same ability to do that, obviously. There's no reason that black Americans should think that Joe Biden is going to stand for them any more than any of the other candidates on that stage, except that he was once hanging out with Barack Obama through sheer charity of Barack Obama. And so that means that in this election cycle, he went out of his way to attempt to paper over, for example, violence and looting associated with Black Lives Matter rioting. It meant that he denounced his own crime bill from 1994. It meant that he picked Kamala Harris. Right? All of this was designed specifically in order to cater to the black voting base and turn them out at a higher rate. Well, a lot of Latinos probably looked at that and said, well, what about us? Like, why is it that you are catering to certain members of the intersectional coalition and not other members of the intersectional coalition? There are a lot of tensions roiling under the surface of this Democratic coalition that was, for just a brief moment, united by anti-Trump sentiment. And I can't imagine that coalition is going to last the long term. But Biden's strategy is that he's going to continue to try to paper over all of those divisions with that veneer of progressivism. So he is wrapping everything up into a ball, right? This is the goal. The goal is to wrap everything up into a ball. There is only one problem here. Not everybody is on the same page, and kind of everybody inside the coalition knows it. So what you're going to get with Joe Biden and with Kamala Harris is an extraordinary amount of jockeying inside the Democratic coalition. You're going to get the Democratic Party basically riven from within, torn apart from within. And you can see it already happening in the form of the battle that is now taking place between the illustrious, honorable Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, D. Bartending, and Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia. We'll get to that in just one moment. But first, if you've never heard about home title theft, you're not alone. I got a crash course into home title theft recently. You better pray this crime doesn't happen to you. It can actually ruin you financially. Here's how easy it is. Legal title to your home. It's digitized. It's kept in government business servers in the cloud where they can be hacked. A cyber thief finds your home title, forges your signature on a quitclaim deed stating you sold your home to him. Done. Then he takes out loans against your home until all your equity is gone and you are now in debt. You won't know until the collection calls pour in. You are not protected by insurance, your bank, common identity theft programs. Home Title Lock, however, will protect you. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title. The instant they detect tampering, they help shut it down cold. You know, you have protection for all your most valuable assets, probably for data on your computer. You got protection for all of your jewelry. You got protection for your home. Why wouldn't you protect your most valuable asset of all, and that is the title to your home? Go to HomeTitleLock.com, register your address to see if you are already a victim, then use code RADIO for 30 free days of protection. That is code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com. Again, that is HomeTitleLock.com. Use code RADIO for 30 free days of protection. Coming up, more on the Biden coalition and why that coalition has some real problems is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
Some gifts don't come wrapped in packages with bows and ribbons. They aren't hidden away, then torn into with reckless abandon. Some gifts are needs, like food or shelter, and those can be the most precious of all. In a year with fewer red kettles, help rescue Christmas for those facing poverty with a $25 monthly donation. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Science is not an opinion. People come before pipelines. It's not too late to act on climate. At Earth Justice, we hold these beliefs to be self-evident. We're a national legal nonprofit fighting for your right to a healthy environment. Our 150-plus lawyers represent clients free of charge because now, more than ever, the Earth needs a good lawyer. If you believe what we believe, go to earthjustice.org today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Well, Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So as I keep mentioning, this Biden coalition, the Democratic coalition, the intersectional coalition, it's got a lot of internal conflict. Joe Manchin and AOC are, I think, indicative of that internal conflict. So Senator Joe Manchin in the Senate, much more powerful, much more important figure than Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez Justice Democrats, that is not a large-scale group of people inside the House of Representatives. It takes up an enormous amount of mental energy from the media because the media fap to it. But that is not because they are actually extending any sort of power inside the House. They don't have that much power inside the House. The number of Justice Democrats or people who are associated with the Justice Democrats, I believe it's under a dozen members of the House right now. And she has not pushed forward any major legislation to any real effect. She's built no coalitions. She's launched primaries against people. And sometimes those primaries have been successful for her. More often they have not. Very often she has gotten candidates to a level of unsuccess that is absolutely stunning. In any case, Senator Joe Manchin last week, he took a jab at AOC's abilities as a lawmaker, according to the New York Post, describing her as, quote unquote, more active on Twitter than anything else. Manchin was specifically responding to AOC posting a photo to Twitter last month in which she could be seen staring daggers at the West Virginia senator as he looked away. And Manchin said, quote, I guess she put the dagger stare on me. I don't know the young lady. I really don't. I never met her. I'm understanding she's not that active with her bills or in committee. She's more active on Twitter than anywhere else. We're not going to defund the police. We're not for the Green New Deal. That's not going to happen. We're not for Medicare for all. We can't even pay for Medicare for some. Okay, and this, of course, ticked off AOC. A spokesperson for AOC then told the New York Post the congresswoman had submitted more amendments than 90% of other freshman lawmakers. Wow, amendments. Ooh-hoo-hoo. Well, then. By the way, submitting an amendment just means that you basically go to House leadership and you're like, I'd like to add this to the bill. And House leadership says, no, that's crazy. And then you go back to your office. The spokeswoman also noted that Ocasio-Cortez had missed fewer votes than Manchin. AOC spokeswoman Lauren Hitt said the congresswoman has earned a reputation as a tough, prepared member in committee hearings. Okay, also, Manchin is not the first person to go after her, obviously. Very quickly after the election, Abigail Spanberger suggested that the defund the police sloganeering that was being pushed by people like the Honorable Representative Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez had basically nearly cost Democrats the House, that they nearly cost Spanberger her congressional seat because they were pushing radical insanities like defund the police. Well, now she is firing back. So she tweeted back at Joe Manchin, quote, I find it amusing when politicians try to diminish the seriousness of our policy work, movement organizing and grassroots fundraisings to, she just tweets, as though serious politics is only done by begging corporate CEOs for money through wax sealed envelopes delivered by Raven. Okay, so, yeah, that's exactly what he's saying. Mm-hmm. He's not saying that your economic proposals are completely useless and going nowhere. He is saying that he's really mad that you use the interwebs, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. But here is the thing. The momentum is not with Joe Manchin. The momentum is not with Joe Manchin. And should the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wing of the Democratic Party gain ascendancy, which, again, they have in the media, I would not be surprised to see somebody like Joe Manchin, who I believe is up for re-election in 2022, switch parties. In the same way that there was a senator named Jim Jeffords from, I believe, New Hampshire way back in the day who switched parties. You could see that happening because West Virginia is a very red state. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez doesn't care about any of that because she is into the posturing and she is part of the intersectional coalition. And the problem for the Democrats, again, is that there is no energy for Joe Biden per se. All of the energy inside the Democratic caucus is not coming from the policy-minded progressive wing of the Democratic Party. It is coming from the intersectional identity politics coalitional wing of the Democratic Party. Those are the people who they need agitated. Those are the people the Democrats need roiled. They want to channel that energy. Now, I will say that Manchin's critique of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, it seems somewhat accurate in light of the fact that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez does spend most of her time on social media. Now, here's the thing about spending time on social media. I also spend a lot of time on social media. I also am not an elected congressperson. I'm a political commentator. So that's literally my job. Her job may involve some of the tweeting, but every once in a while you would assume that you'd want to actually hold a meeting with people to push legislation, but that's not something she's interested in. Instead, apparently, she's interested, again, in making a quick buck for her campaign off of rubes, off of suckers. Politics is such a dirty con game. It really is. There's so many grifters in politics who are simply seeking to make a buck and get famous off of not even providing you with an opinion or providing you with a service or a good that you enjoy, but simply off of making you promises that are unfulfillable and then getting you to become billboards for them. Coming up, More on the battle between Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez and the so-called moderates in the Democratic Party. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
KCNR 96.5 FM, KCNR1460.com, and AM 1460 has teamed up with Golden Valley Bank for Operation Holiday Salute to thank our veterans for their service. And a portion of the proceeds goes to help out local homeless veterans. Golden Valley Bank at 250 Hempstead Drive, Suite 100, creates a truly unique local banking experience. Talk to our relationship banker today at 222-4000. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Once again this year, Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services is boxing packages for Christmas for the troops. Saturday, December 12th, make a drive-by donation only at the historic Cottonwood Firehouse on Brush Street between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. You're encouraged to donate small travel-sized snacks, candies, and small toiletries, all to be put in boxes and shipped overseas. If you want to donate non-perishable holiday dinner items for Christmas dinners of veterans and families of those deployed, that would be greatly appreciated. If you just want to donate some cash to help offset the exorbitant cost of shipping packages, you can do that too. Again, that's Saturday, December 12th, in drive-by fashion, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in front of the historic firehouse on Brush Street in Cottonwood. Thanks to our troops and our veterans for their service and sacrifice. And thank you for your support. That's Saturday the 12th on Brush Street in Cottonwood with Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi,
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
It was not available for remedy. There was no way to rectify the breach. One idea was that government was all-powerful and could solve all your problems. And the other was that government was racist and terrible and was initiated in sin, and therefore everything needed to be torn to the ground. Barack Obama somehow squared that circle by essentially saying both. Right? Government is all-powerful, but only if I run it. Because, you see, I am a rebel from within the system. And because I'm the rebel from within the system, you should trust me. Well, nobody can characterize Joe Biden as the rebel from within the system, which means that he is currently standing atop a powder keg because he has emboldened all the people who want to tear down the system and simultaneously claim that he can fix all your problems with government. And that is not capable of being held. That is not a gap that can be bridged. Anyway, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, she is out to make a quick buck off of her sloganeering nonsense. So one of the great things about capitalism is that socialists love making money off of capitalism. Everybody loves making money off of capitalism. So Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez started pitching her new line of gear. Now, she's a congressperson. Okay, like we here at Daily Wire, we sell gear too. For example, we have a new sweatshirt. We have a new sweatshirt that we are going to discuss in just one second at Daily Wire. But that's because that's what we do for a living. And Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez has her own woke store. So a couple of examples from the woke store for Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. So she has a sweatshirt. The sweatshirt says tax the rich upon it. Okay. And this sweatshirt, tax the rich, with the little AOC slogan over there. I mean, this is a great buy for you. Okay. It's available at the Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez store. The lady who hates capitalism and says it's exploitative and evil. It is made in the United States. It is union printed. Is 100% cotton. It is a gender-neutral fit. It says tax the rich. It is $58. $58. I mean, what a deal. So you can demonstrate how much you hate capitalism by spending $58 on a sweatshirt. Tax the rich. The only person who can afford this is somebody who's rich. Can you just imagine a bunch of poor people who just spent like half their daily salary minimum on a tax the rich sweatshirt to pitch AOC's brand of bullcrap? It's amazing. Like, good for her. Seriously, anybody can make it in America. It's pretty fantastic. Okay, and I did offer an alternative to the Tax the Rich sweatshirt, by the way. We decided not to go with it. We went with a different sweatshirt here at Daily Wire. The one that I suggested in response to Tax the Rich was Leave Me the F*** Alone. But we decided not to go with that one here at Daily Wire. Instead, we went with our response, which is cheaper than AOC's garbage sweatshirt. It says Insert Woke Slogan. Because, I mean, we'll charge you less for that, and that way it serves all your purposes, right? You can do all the same things that Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez wants you to do, right? You can signal your support for a basket of crappy policies. It is also 100% cotton. It is also made in the United States. It is also a gender-neutral fit, and it is cheaper than AOC's socialism sweatshirt, because it turns out that capitalism is always better than socialism. Free markets drive down the price and increase the quality. Tax the rich is not as good. It's not as useful as a slogan that says insert woke slogan, because see, ours, it's appropriate for any occasion. You have this insert woke slogan sweatshirt. And then if it's Black Lives Matter today, it doesn't matter. You don't have to change your sweatshirt. Right? It just counts. If it says tax the rich today, it doesn't matter. You can still wear the insert woke slogan sweatshirt and you are good to go. Okay, but I just love the fact that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, critic of the evils of capitalism, is selling on her website a $58 sweatshirt that says tax the rich. Spectacular, spectacular stuff. Okay, but that's not the only stuff that AOC is selling on her website. She is also selling a t-shirt. It is a t-shirt of herself. It is an imitation of a painting called called Wanderer Above a Sea of Fog. This is a very influential romantic era painting in which it showed originally a man standing on a rock looking over a sea of fog. And the basic idea was that Enlightenment ideals could allow man to scale the heights and then survey the vistas. So Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, being her own biggest fan, has now commissioned a painting of Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez standing on that same rock, looking out over a beautiful vista like the cover of the Pocahontas VHS. And above it, it says, the Green New Deal. That one will only cost you $27. So you can love AOC nearly as much as AOC loves AOC for just $27. Okay, also, she has put out a great t-shirt. It says student debt, but it's crossed out. That's all the t-shirt is. Okay, first of all, you could get this for like $7 on Amazon. You know, let's just be real about that. Right, this is like the cheapest t-shirt in history to produce. It's one color, doesn't have multicolors on it. In any case, it's a student debt, but it's crossed out with a black line. So instead of paying back your student debt, instead of taking that $27 and paying down your debt and being a responsible person since you voluntarily took out the debt in the first place, instead you could give AOC's campaign $27 to promote her bullcrap and never pay back your student loan debt. Sounds awesome. Okay, but that's not even the most expensive item in the AOC market. Okay, the most expensive item is this extraordinary sweatshirt from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Just a wonderful sweatshirt. Social, economic, and racial justice. Okay, those are just words. Thank you for that. Social, economic, and racial justice. AOC. Okay, now, all it will cost you to demonstrate how virtuous you are by wearing a sweatshirt that says social, economic, and racial justice, all it will take you is $65. Nothing says economic justice and social justice like spending $65 on a sweatshirt. Nothing. That is stellar, stellar stuff. The entitlement mentality of the very critics of capitalism who then use capitalism in order to make bucks is pretty spectacular stuff. And the self-pitying nature of all of this is also pretty spectacular. AOC sees herself as this messianic figure inside the Democratic Party. She's going to push for hope and change in Barack Obama true fashion. But she also really pities herself a lot. So last night, she tweeted out, "The thing conservative senators don't seem to understand is I've actually had a physically difficult working class job without good health care most of my adult life. I bring that work ethic to Congress and my community. They sit around on leather chairs all day." Yeah, she had it tough, guys, because she was a waitress. Okay, so my dad worked in a restaurant for 20 years. And most of the people he was friends with were waiters and waitresses. And that is, in fact, a difficult job. And guess what? A huge number of Republicans did not start off as senator. Actually, you know who has been sitting in a leather chair all day since 1973? Joe Biden. Joe Biden was elected to Senate in 1973. So she might want to direct her ire elsewhere. Also, quick note on AOC. You got to love the political incoherence of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez calling for Medicare for all. She says she didn't have health care, right? That she's had a physically difficult working class job without good health care most of her adult life. Okay, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's 31 years old. She's 31, right? That means that in 2010, I think her birthday, I looked this up yesterday for purposes of this tweet. I believe that her birthday is sometime in October, I think. So she was 31 years old. That means that she was 20 when Obamacare passed. I thought Obamacare was going to solve all of our problems, guys. I thought Obamacare was like the greatest thing to ever happen to healthcare. She has been her entire adult life living under the auspices of Obamacare. So what is she talking about? She doesn't have healthcare. I thought Obamacare solved all the problems. Now, subtle slap at Barack Obama there. AOC. Okay, in any case, is this coalition capable of being held together? I don't think so. I think they've got some real problems inside that coalition. But only if Republicans can get their bleep together. This is the problem. Republicans actually have to get their bleep together. We're going to get to that in just 1 second. But first, investors, how about a 10% steady real estate-backed monthly cash flow? Have you thought about the only one true supply-constrained asset, real estate? Intelligent, savvy investors need to check out NRIA. NRIA is one of the nation's top specialists, offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted to 21%. With NRIA, you could see a 10% return on monthly payments with bonuses. You can even use that 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today for 10% monthly payouts and bonuses. Every smart investor should consider it. Call now, 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483 or visit NRIA.net. An offer to buy or sell any security is made only by private placement memorandum. Read it first. See them at NRIA.net. So as I keep saying, the Democratic coalition, that coalition is extraordinarily fragile. And the predictable effect of the coalition being very fragile is that there has to be a cram down in the cultural sphere in order to get you to shut up. And they need to shut you up. There's a reason why cancel culture has become such a thing over the past few years. And the answer is, when you have a really fragile coalition, that coalition can only be held together so long as there is not a majority, a loud and vocal majority, that is rejecting certain aspects of the coalitional agenda. So, for example, you're trying to create a coalition as a Democrat between Black Democrats and gay Democrats and Asian Democrats, and you push an item that most Americans don't like very much. So let's say that you are in an attempt to placate the LGBT group inside your coalition. What you do is you say, okay, from now on, we are all adding pronouns to our profiles, and we are also going to try to pass legislation to suggest that men can go into women's locker rooms and vice versa, so long as they believe they're members of the opposite gender. And most Americans go, that sounds crazy. We're not going to do that. Well, what you then have to do is you have to get involved in the cultural sphere and cram down those views on everybody else. You have to shut people up in order to engage in cultural renormalization. And that's why you have seen over the past few years so much attempt inside corporations and inside the media and inside the halls of academia and on social media to actually shut people up who have various opinions on these issues. Because if ever the silenced majority were to get together and just say no to any of this, then the Democratic coalition would start to fracture. Because they'd have to make a choice. Do they want to win a majority of the vote by jettisoning some of their more radical policy proposals? Or do they want to continue to placate the intersectional coalition at the cost of maybe losing a majority? So they have to shut people up. That is a big thing. They must shut people up. Well, that means that the way you fight back against this stuff is by not shutting up, not just on the cultural level, but also politically. In other words, do not let Democrats have a majority in the Senate of the United States. Do not let them take over the cultural milieus that run the country. Don't let them do any of this. This is why it is so unbelievably stupid that Republicans are even talking about right now the possibility of not voting in Georgia. This is crazy. So I'm not going to cite polls to you because polls are very often wrong. But I'm now about to cite a poll to you. Okay, just because it does demonstrate that what we are talking about in Georgia, at least the only information we have is that this is not a blowout on behalf of Republicans. We have two races. One is against Raphael Warnock, who is an extraordinarily radical candidate. Okay, he's running for one seat. The other person running is John Ossoff, who's a trust fund socialist. His parents are very rich. They got him a house in Washington, D.C. He's basically been a career useless person like Beto O'Rourke. And now he is running once again. He ran for Congress and lost against Karen Handel. Then he ran again and he lost for some other office. And now he is running. He ran again and he lost against David Perdue. But the problem is David Perdue didn't get over 50%, and so they now have to rerun that race because in Georgia you have to win over 50% in a Senate race in order to enter the United States Senate. Right now, he ran a very narrow race against Perdue, and separated by less than 2 percentage points. Raphael Warnock was in what they call a jungle primary, meaning that everybody is voting for every candidate. Right? It's not just like a Democratic primary and a Republican primary. It's a primary where everybody can vote for any candidate. And Warnock actually ended up with the most votes in that because Republicans split their vote. He won something like 33% of the vote in that so-called jungle primary. That's literally the name of the primary. And so he was the front runner there. And now, according to a new poll from Survey USA and WXIA in Atlanta, the poll shows Ossoff narrowly leading Perdue 50-48 and showing Warnock holding a lead over Kelly Loeffler, the GOP senator in Georgia. Okay, That's nuts. Now, I'm going to take all that polling with a grain of salt. I think Republicans still have an institutional advantage. But if you guys don't go out and vote because you are pissed off at the way that Georgia's voting has gone presidentially, you're shooting yourself directly in the foot. There is no rationale for this whatsoever, which is why on Wednesday, a group of 19 prominent Georgia Republicans, including former Governor Nathan Deal and two former U.S. Senators Saxby Chambliss and Johnny Isaacson, issued an open letter warning the focus on fraud allegations could, quote unquote, detract from the runoffs, which will determine which party controls the U.S. Senate. They wrote, quote, "We have watched with increasing concern as the debate surrounding the state's electoral system has made some within our party consider whether voting in the coming runoff election matters." They warned that if Republicans didn't turn out, the trajectory of our state and nation will be irreparably altered on January 5th. And that, of course, is exactly right. This comes directly on the heels of Lynn Wood, who apparently is a crazy person, and Sidney Powell, who appears to be more and more of a crazy person, suggesting that Republicans should skip the Senate elections because they're so pissed off at what they think happened to Trump in Georgia. And listen, I'm not even saying they shouldn't be pissed off over what happened with Trump in Georgia. We'll get back to that in just one second. First, I got to tell you about when you're...
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. Time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive. Activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Coming up, there's a new video that has now emerged, and people are saying that it shows massive voter fraud in Georgia. We'll talk about it, and we'll give you both sides of what people are saying about it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The need has always been there. The need for food, shelter, compassion. This year, it just happens to be greater. If you need help, please reach out. If you can give help, please reach within. In a year with fewer red kettles, your $25 monthly donation helps rescue Christmas for the most vulnerable. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Alana was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and it's cancer. As a parent, when you're told this type of news, you're going to do whatever you can do for your babies. When we got to St. Jude is when I realized that, oh, you're not going to get a bill for anything. I don't have to worry about it. They're saying we're going to help save her. We're not going to charge you anything. This is what we do.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Hey, listen to this. Last Tuesday, I was robbed blind. A thief broke my car window, took my laptop, and ran off. Or at least that's what would have happened if I didn't have Vivint. Instead, here's what really happened. Thief walked up, my Vivint camera detected him, scared him, and he ran away. My Vivint security system doesn't just record crime, it actually prevents it with a flashing red light and a whistle. And the best part is, I can check in on my home from anywhere right from my phone, whether I'm at the gym or the office, thanks to Vivint. All is well. If you want a system professionally installed, fit with the best cameras and 24/7 monitoring, call Vivint today. 833-420-4070 for a free quote and lock in free installation and a free month of monitoring service. Vivint, smart security professionally installed. Call 833-420-4070 to get started today. Offer valid for new customers only. System purchase requires monthly service agreement and equipment package. Speak to a Vivint representative today for complete equipment, services, and financing details. Visit Vivint.com for licensing information. Other terms and conditions may apply. Bye.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So a lot of people are pushing a video that came out yesterday purportedly showing voter fraud in Georgia. I want to go through what the video actually shows and then what the countervailing response is. I don't know the answer to this, which is why I think it needs a full investigation. So a very suspicious tape emerged last night. This is a tape that was presented by an election lawyer in Georgia. And this election video that was then blasted out to social media by Team Trump supposedly showed some election workers in Georgia clearing the room, telling people to poll workers and observers to leave the room, and then pulling out suitcases filled with ballots from underneath a table and then running them through the counting machines while there was no one there to observe. Right. This was the allegation that was being made. There was some of that video being narrated by this Georgia lawyer.
So now they're going to start pulling these ballots out from under this table. This table, the black one, was placed there by the lady with the blonde braids at about 8:22 a.m. in the morning. So she put that table there. So the same person who's staying behind now, the same person who cleared the place out under the pretense that we're going to stop counting, is the person who put the table there at 8:22 in the morning. Yeah, I saw four suitcases come out from underneath the table.
Okay, and then the suggestion is that she hid basically all of these fake ballots underneath the table. She took the ballots out. She started handing them to the poll workers, and the poll workers started processing these ballots, and that because they did this hour after hour on end, that these are all fraudulent. Now, on the surface, it looks really bad, right? I mean, if you just look at the tape and you listen to the narration, that looks pretty terrible and deserving of a full investigation. Now, the countervailing story is being told by some Georgia folks over at leadstories.com, Alan Duke and Haley Golden. And here's what they write. Does security camera video show a Fulton County, Georgia election supervisor suspiciously pulling suitcases filled with ballots from under a table after telling poll workers to leave the room? Did that election official continue to illegally count ballots without required monitors in a manner that calls into question Joe Biden's narrow win over Donald Trump in Georgia? According to Lead Stories, no, those claims are not true. Two high-level officials with the Georgia Secretary of State's office and a state elections board monitor each told Lead Stories their investigations revealed nothing suspicious in the video. The officials said the ballots seen in the video were in regular ballot containers, not suitcases, and they'd been removed from their envelopes and processed while news media and election observers for the Republican Party and Trump campaign were present. The media and party observers were never told to leave because counting was over for the night, but they apparently followed workers who left once their job of opening envelopes was completed, the chief investigator for the Secretary of State told these stories. The observers were free to return at any time, she said. Georgia law allows observers, but does not require them to be there for ballots to be counted. Those claims were originally made, of course, at this hearing before the Georgia State Senate. Gabriel Sterling, a Republican, Georgia's voting system implementation manager, told Lead Stories during a phone call that what can be seen on the video is normal procedure and nothing looks quote-unquote bizarre or odd. He said election workers known as cutters because their job was to open absentee ballot envelopes and verify ballots for eventual scanning and counting were dismissed for the night sometime after 10 p.m. on November 3rd because they were done. Those workers who remained were responsible for conducting the scanning portion of the process because ballots couldn't be left without being scanned overnight. He said if you look at the videotape, the work you see is the work you would expect, which is you take the sealed suitcase, looking things, you place the ballots on the scanner in manageable batches, and you scan them. Francis Watson, the chief investigator for the Georgia Secretary of State, told these stories during a phone call on December 3rd, 2020. The ballots were in standard containers. The work during the time in question had nothing to do with pulling ballots from under a table. She said there wasn't a bin that had ballots in it under the table. It was an empty bin. The ballots from it were actually out on the table when the media were still there. Then it was placed back into the box when the media were still there, and then placed next to the table a little bit later. There was never an announcement made to the media and other observers about the counting being over for the night and them needing to leave, according to Watson, who's provided information by the media liaison who was present. She said she just followed the cutters as they left. She said nobody told them to stay. Nobody told them to leave. Nobody gave them advice on what they should do. They could stay or they could leave. And there is no actual requirement that people be in the room. It just gives them the right to be in the room. A state election board monitor, who asked for his name not to be used due to safety concerns, told Lead Stories that he was present at the vote counting location beginning at 11:52 p.m. After leaving briefly earlier in the evening, he stayed until about 12:45 a.m. when the work that night was completed. The deputy chief investigator for the Secretary of State's office was present beginning at about 12:15 a.m. on November 4th. The election monitor also told Lead Stories between 8 p.m. on November 3rd and 12:43 a.m. on November 4th when they stopped counting, the scanners had scanned about 10,000 ballots, which, again, is not the 12,000 ballot gap. So who do you choose to believe there? The lawyer who is showing you the tape or the person who's explaining the tape from the other side? I don't know the answer to that. A full investigation seems necessary. And I understand why people would be suspicious. I certainly do. But it is imperative to get to the bottom of it without jumping to conclusions. And no matter what your conclusions are on that, don't not vote for Republicans in Georgia. Hell's wrong with you? Why would you not vote for the Republican in Georgia? Because you are ticked off at what happened in Georgia because you think Democrats. So your idea here is Democrats stole the election in Georgia. So give them control of the Senate. That's the logic there. That is one hell of a hot take. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Trump is not backing down from his threat to veto a defense bill. White House correspondent Greg Clugson reports.
The president has warned of a veto unless lawmakers clamp down on big tech companies. He says the social media giants treat conservatives unfairly. The president also opposes plans to stop allowing military bases to be named for Confederate leaders. Even though the massive defense bill has passed every year for more than a half century and has bipartisan support, Mr. Trump tweets that he will veto. Greg Clugston, Washington.
A judge in Nevada dismissing President Trump's campaign request to declare the president the winner in Nevada and nullify the results. That state lawsuit alleged voter irregularities and fraud actually made Mr. Trump the winner. Also at townhall.com, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi expressing optimism both parties will come together to secure a virus relief package before Congress leaves Washington for the winter holidays. Bernie Bennett has the story.
Addressing reporters in the Capitol, the speaker said party negotiators still have a number of disagreements to iron out to win such an agreement, but indicated the sides are making steady progress and all but guaranteed that the bipartisan deal will be sealed in the coming days.
We'll take the time we need, and we must get it done, by this before we leave. We cannot leave without it.
Pelosi spoke Thursday with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell about a strategy for passing both an emergency COVID-19 bill and legislation to fund the government and prevent a government shutdown. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Kansas Governor Laura Kelly says the wheat state considers meatpacking plant workers and grocery store employees essential workers, putting them second in the possible vaccination lineup. She says Kansas vaccine plans for the first shots to go to first-line health care workers. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Investors, are you seeking steady cash flow? Are you ready to diversify? NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts and bonuses targeted 18 to 21%. That's right. You could receive steady 10% monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today and receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now 800-700-5483, 800-700-5483, or visit NRIA.net.
An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by our private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net.
As expected, Americans did indeed gather for Thanksgiving. Andrew Stewart has that story.
So says data from roadways and airports provided to the AP. Americans drove only slightly less than a year ago and largely ignored the pleas of public health experts. They begged Americans to forego holiday travel to help contain the coronavirus pandemic. The nation's unwillingness to tamp down on travel offered a warning in advance of Christmas and New Year's as virus deaths and hospitalizations hit new highs.
In the meantime, American deaths from the pandemic eclipsed more than 3,100 Thursday, beating the single-day record set last spring. America's employers added 245,000 jobs in November. Meanwhile, the Labor Department says the unemployment rate is 6.7, down from 6.9 in October. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. On Capitol Hill, the House approving legislation to decriminalize and tax marijuana at the federal level. Democrat Carolyn Maloney of New York.
It's past time that Congress answers the call for reform for low-level marijuana conviction justice. This sweeping legislation would officially remove cannabis from the list of federally controlled harmful substances.
North Carolina Republican Greg Murphy.
Legalizing weed would create revenue from taxes. But at what cost? Do we then start legalizing cocaine? Marijuana is a gateway drug. Make no mistake about that.
Justice Department says 13 people charged in a drug ring largely operated by current and former University of Texas students. Officials say they apparently used apps and social media to sell counterfeit Adderall and Xanax. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
The Backel and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backel and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backel and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Backel and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
A post-Thanksgiving spike, as far as we can tell at this point. So I was kind of hopeful late last week, and I mentioned it, and even early this week, that there might not be this giant Thanksgiving spike in terms of total diagnosed cases, because there seemed to be sort of a peak in mid-November, and then it came down all the way to the beginning of December. But it now seems that it is jumping again in the aftermath of Thanksgiving, as many of the critics predicted. So full disclosure to them, when you're wrong, you're wrong, and it looks like we are about to enter another peak here. And maybe that has something to do with Thanksgiving and people acting irresponsibly. Maybe it has to do with the fact that these stay-at-home orders are simply not effective. And these mask mandates, which have been in places like California for a long, long time, that those are not effective either. Nonetheless, California is once again going into full-scale lockdown. I mean, full-on total lockdown. According to the New York Times, California, the first state to impose far-reaching lockdowns because of COVID, announced on Thursday its strictest new measures since the earliest days of the pandemic in an effort to keep a surge in cases from overwhelming hospitals. Governor Newsom said the new round of regional stay-at-home orders would take effect as ICU beds filled up. Millions of people across Southern and Central California are likely to see outdoor dining shuttered. Again, there's no evidence that shows that outdoor dining is conveying disease. There is none. If you are outdoors, it is not the same as being indoors. They're going to rope off playgrounds. Again, playgrounds not a vector for the disease. Surface-to-surface transmission, like you touched a thing because somebody else had touched it. That is not a main source of transmission. Early on, there was a lot of talk about how you had to use Lysol and wipe down everything you got from the grocery store and all this, and it turned out that that was wildly overblown. Roping off playgrounds for children who are the least vulnerable to COVID makes no sense at all. Hair salons will be closed within days if the available ICU capacity in these areas dips below a 15% threshold. By the way, hardest hit Nancy Pelosi, who is always up for a visit to the hair salon. The new restrictions will last for at least 3 weeks, strictly limit store capacity, allow restaurants to serve only takeout or delivery. The governor also said people should temporarily call off all non-essential travel. He said, if we don't act now, our hospital system will be overwhelmed. If we don't act now, we will continue to see our death rate climb. This is the same kind of stuff they tried back in March and April. They had mask mandates in place for a very long time. California never really reopened. It didn't seem to help very much because California is getting hit really, really hard. California has now recorded 1.2 million virus cases and 19,468 deaths. On Thursday, Newsom delivered a grim tally via remote video. He said that California is seeing its sharpest increase in cases since the pandemic took hold, even as its coronavirus prevention measures have become more stringent. Some early measures, such as mask wearing, were voluntary. If hospitalization rates keep soaring, California's 40 million residents could all be under new stay-at-home orders by Christmas, which is just incredible. People are pushing back. because, of course, as it turns out, these stay-at-home orders have not been wildly effective. They have not. People can be reasonable. People can make reasonable decisions. But, again, this all falls part and parcel as part of the broader COVID take by Democrats, which is that if you just shut everything down, you'll magically make the virus go away. So last night on CNN, Joe Biden talked about COVID, and he actually suggested a bunch of things that are anti-scientific. He said we cannot open elementary schools, which is just a teachers union talking point. It happens not to be true.
We can safely open those elementary schools where the highest risk of people transmitting the disease, number one. Number two, we can make it safe for teachers if we invest in what needs to be done. Number one, sanitizing the schools. Number two, making sure that they have ventilation. Number three, making sure there are smaller pods of children, meaning you need more teachers. You got to pay for this stuff. It was estimated that we could open those schools for somewhere around $100 billion nationwide.
Okay, so that is not correct. Okay, that elementary schools are supposed to remain closed because they don't have precautions in place or anything like that. Again, my kids have been in elementary school for months at this point. There have been no outbreaks. The middle school, where my kids go, because it goes K through 8, the middle school has been open. They have had some cases. People have been sent home. And then people who are associated with them were sent home. And then they came back a couple of weeks later, and that was the end of it. We'll get to more of this in just one moment. First, investors seeking steady cash flow, ready to diversify. NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted at 18 to 21%. That's right. With NRIA, you could see a 10% return on monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use that 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today. Receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now, 800-700-5483. That is 800-700-5483 or visit NRIA.net. An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net. Even Anthony Fauci doesn't believe this. Anthony Fauci believes the schools should be open. Fauci, right? He, a guy who reversed himself several times. Fauci said the schools should be open. But Biden has a solution. Don't worry. He has a solution. His solution is he's going to ask you to wear a mask. That was his big plan all along. Back in 1968, Nixon said that he had a plan to end the Vietnam War. It was a secret plan to end the Vietnam War. Okay, and then it turned out that it wasn't such a secret plan. Well, Joe Biden's secret plan to end COVID is that the old man is going to tell you to wear a mask and this will magically end COVID, which is weird since they've had a mask mandate in Germany and Italy. There's a spike anyway. Here was Joe Biden suggesting that if he takes office in January, he's going to ask people to put on a mask for 100 days. Well, since you bamboozled us the first time with 15 days to slow the spread, and we are now, what, 9 months into this? Right? It was 15 days to slow the spread. Last I checked, 8 or 9 months does not mean 15 days. It's different. He's now saying he wants 100 days to slow the spread if he enters the White House. Here he is saying that those masks should stay on full time for 100 days.
I think my inclination, Jake, is on the first day I'm inaugurated to say I'm going to ask the public for 100 days to mask. Just 100 days to mask. Not forever, 100 days. And I think we'll see a significant reduction if we occur that, that occurs with vaccinations and masking to drive down the numbers considerably.
Okay, now, as I keep saying, so here's the thing. What's actually going to happen here is that the cases are going to continue to spike. They're going to spike through December. Then they're going to start coming down in January. Here's my prediction, okay? And either I'll be right or I'll be wrong, so I'm at least putting it out there. They're going to start to come down. By the time of the inauguration, whether it's Trump or Biden, regardless of what happens in January, the numbers will have already started to drop. The vaccinations will have started to come out in December. By the end of February, supposedly about 100 million people will be vaccinated. And at that point, if Biden is in the White House, the media will declare that Joe Biden did it. They'll declare it was only because of Joe Biden's logistical genius in getting the vaccine out to people before he was even in the White House and developing the vaccine that he had nothing to do with that did it. Right? He will declare that the mask mandate did it, that asking people to wear masks did it. Because this has been the pattern. The pattern has been when a Democrat says something and it does not work, then they just wait until the curve goes down and then they declare that it worked. And if a Republican does something, then it's always bad, no matter what. But Joe Biden telling people to wear masks ain't going to change a damn thing. It is not going to change one thing. Zero things will it change. It's just incredible that this is taken as follow the science stuff from Joe Biden. It is not follow the science stuff. The schools should be open. And again, shutting it all down is not a solution. It has not been a solution in Germany. They've been shutting things down there for a very, very long time. And there are real-life consequences to this sort of stuff. In Michigan, they are continuing this push for a massive shutdown order. They continue to suggest that there must be more statewide shutdowns that Christine Whitmer, Gretchen Whitmer? Gretchen Whitmer, the governor over there, her husband doesn't have to abide by those. He can still go fishing. Everybody else is screwed, but her husband can go fishing. Well, here is a Michigan restaurant owner who was caught in the background of a report that was being done about shutting down businesses, saying, "You guys are destroying my life." Like, can we stop pretending for a second there are no downsides to these shutdowns?
There was enough money to give every family in this country $20,000 to go home for 2 months. They chose to give it to special interests and campaign donors, the Kennedy Space Center, and they abandoned us. So, if you could have given me money, I'd gladly walk away for 60 days and let this virus settle down. I'm not going to do it alone. Okay?
Are you going to continue to violate the state's orders and
this
stay
is
open?
A state order. This isn't an order. This is a conspiracy. This is a tyranny.
What do you want to tell other restaurant owners who...
Wake up. Stand up. This is America. Be free.
Okay, I got to say, all sympathies to the restaurant owner. Seriously. If you make your own decisions in a free country, we do risk assessment every single day. Every single day we do risk assessment. We should be doing risk assessment now. And sort of scaremongering from the media, which is that everybody is equally susceptible to the virus, as I keep saying. Every single time they report the number of people who have died or the susceptibility of the virus or the death rates of the virus, they should be doing it striated by age and health condition. Every single time. To do otherwise is an act of malfeasance. It is journalistic and informational malfeasance not to point out that this disease does not affect everybody equally. That we should not be treating 89-year-old people with congestive heart failure the same way that we treat 18-year-olds in universities. We'll get some more of that in just 1 second. First, let's talk about something that you need to do. Out in your garage, you got a bunch of old VHS tapes. You don't have a VCR. Got a bunch of old film reels. No film projector. You have a bunch of old pictures. They're just moldering out there. Why not have all that stuff digitized and preserved for the future? This is why you need Legacy Box. Their service could not be simpler. They use their kit to safely send the moments you want preserved. Their team then creates a digital archive by hand. And then you receive your new copies stored on the cloud, thumb drive or DVD, along with all of the original you sent them. With their tracking system, you can monitor every step of the process so you always know your originals are being taken care of. Over the past 10 years, Legacy Box has helped close to 1 million families restore and protect their most cherished memories. Right now, they are offering 60% off, so you can have everything preserved at once for a fraction of the regular price. Once you have these digital versions, you can relax knowing they will be secure forever. This is the best deal of the year right now at Legacy Box. Go to LegacyBox.com/BenRadio. Take advantage of this limited-time offer. Get 60% off. I did this for my parents. They loved it. I mean, they were just over the moon about the fact that they could now see all the old footage of their parents and grandparents. It's amazing stuff. Go to LegacyBox.com/BenRadio right now. Save 60% while supplies last. That's LegacyBox.com/BenRadio. There's a whole article in the New York Times today suggesting that we should shut down universities. I do love this. Okay, so the New York Times, I'm sorry, the Washington Post has an editorial today that basically just repeats all of Joe Biden's talking points as per our usual arrangement. And here is what they say. They say, "We must not act as a collection of free spirits in denial, but rather as a cohesive nation that recognizes the enormity of the threat. Every single person in the United States should commit themselves to wearing a face mask in public." So presumably you're like out walking your dog. You should wear a face mask. "To rigorously following the rules of distancing and good hygiene, to avoid tightly enclosed spaces and events that could recklessly transmit the virus." And this is my favorite part. So they say in here that we need to do everything that will do what is right. What is right? Here we go. You ready? "No more pockets of college students partying without masks." That's your solution? College students have to stop partying without masks? College students are the least vulnerable group of people outside of small children to the virus. Like, that's where you're putting your chief focus, on college students partying without masks? Let me be clear about this. If it were up to me and I were running national COVID policy, I would have told every college student in America to be on campus. I would have told everybody above the age of 45 to basically clear out, let them party it up without the mask for 2 months, and then no one would have died. Okay? And then they would not be vectors of transmission. Just don't go home until you are recovered. The big problem is that they did shut down the colleges and they sent kids who were infected with COVID back home to their parents and grandparents. That was actually a bigger vector of transmission than if you just kept the kids on campus in the first place. But according to the Washington Post, we can't have college students partying without masks. That's the big danger. This one's my favorite. "No more demonstrations threatening to liberate states." I noticed that you're getting very, very specific about what demonstrations are allowed and which ones are not, Washington Post. So demonstrations about how America is systemically racist and the police are evil, those are okay. But no more demonstrations threatening to liberate states. Stop that. Because the virus knows your message. The virus cares what placard you're carrying at a public demonstration. No more motorcycle rallies. How about like, what about like big indoor funerals for big public figures like, say, John Lewis? How about those? Those okay? Those okay? What do you think? No more summer camps. Summer camps. We had summer camps over the summer. You know what happened? Kids didn't get infected. Kids didn't die because they're little. Okay, and what's been happening, and this is what happened in California, is that schools, private schools, wanted to reopen. And so they declared themselves at summer camps in order so they could reopen. So now California is cracking down on them. So the first three recommendations by the Washington Post of what to do are completely anti-scientific. They're suggesting the chief vectors of transmission are college students partying without masks. Wrong. Demonstrations threatening to liberate states. Again, very ideologically oriented there. Summer camps. And they say church choirs and weddings that ignore mitigation members and measures and become super spreading events. I've noticed that you have not incorporated any other indoor events that that become super spreaders. And there have been many of them. So again, this is the take. The take is shut everything down that we don't like because kind of we don't like them. And that's kind of where things are at. Okay, here's the reality about COVID. It ain't going away. We're learning to live with it. If you want to hunker down until the vaccine is ready, by all means do so if you are particularly vulnerable. Seriously. If you are 80 and you have and you have some sort of cancer, then stay home until the vaccine is available. If you are 40 and you are morbidly obese, stay home until the vaccine is available. I'm not kidding. Mitigate your own risk. And if you're a person who knows one of those people, stay away from them. Right? Mitigate the risk for others. But this basic idea that you can lock down everything or that Joe Biden shouting masks at the wind is going to solve all of it is just a bunch of propagandistic nonsense. Coming up, there's a story in the New York Times that really exposes the site Pornhub for what it is, meaning they actually post not just, you know, sexual content, but absolutely horrific content. We'll get to that in a moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention business owners, listen carefully to this important message. Are you tired of struggling with monthly bookkeeping or always being behind? Maybe you're fed up with paying your CPA ridiculously high hourly rates for subpar services. At FinancePal, we know your pain. We're small business owners who understand your tax and accounting needs. At FinancePal, we take over your books and design a program custom tailored to fit your needs. Whether it's bookkeeping, payroll, bill pay, inventory tracking, or taxes, we have you covered. We handle some or all of these services for one flat, affordable, low monthly fee. Stop worrying about your books and drowning in paperwork. Let us worry while you focus on growing your business. The setup is easy, and we give you the tools and technology to make your monthly finances streamlined and organized. Call now at 800-509-3208 for a free business assessment. That's 800-509-3208. 800-509-3208. Finance Pal, the only friend your business needs.
The strength of our country hasn't just been won on the battlefield. It's won every day in our communities when we come together in our toughest times. For over 100 years, the American Legion has been strengthening communities across our nation by providing life-saving help and support to our veterans and neighbors during times like we're facing today. We are the American Legion, Veterans Strengthening America. To learn how you can help, visit legion.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So there's a story by Nicholas Kristof at the New York Times. It's very disturbing. And it is also just an indicator of where we are as a society and what we deem to be virtuous and what we deem not to be virtuous. It's all about the site Pornhub. So Pornhub is, as you would imagine, a pornography site, of course. And it is supposed to be basically randos putting up pornography of themselves and then people paying to access said pornography. And it's supposed to be wholesome and fun. And the reason we know it's wholesome and fun for people to engage in this sort of behavior is because they do all the social justice virtue signaling. As the New York Times says, that supposedly wholesome Pornhub attracts 3.5 billion visits a month, more than Netflix, Yahoo, or Amazon. Pornhub rakes in more money from almost 3 billion ad impressions a day. It is the 10th most visited website in the world. It donates to organizations fighting for racial equality and offers steamy content for free to get people through COVID-19 shutdowns. They bought a billboard in Times Square and provide snowplows to clear Boston streets. See, they're community neighborhood-friendly porn site. But it turns out that actually the porn site is filled with some really egregious content. I mean, I'm not just talking about the normal pornography and all that. I'm talking about actual egregiously bad content by every available metric. According to Nicholas Kristof, there's another side of the company. Its site is infested with rape videos. It monetizes child rapes, revenge pornography, spy cam videos of women showering, racist and misogynist content, and footage of women being asphyxiated in plastic bags. A search for girls under 18 or 14-year-old leads in each case to more than 100,000 videos. After a 15-year-old girl went missing in Florida, her mother found her on Pornhub in 58 sex videos. Sexual assaults on a 14-year-old California girl were posted on Pornhub and reported to authorities not by the company, but by a classmate who saw the videos. In each case, offenders were arrested for the assaults, but Pornhub escaped responsibility for sharing the videos and profiting from them. Pornhub is like YouTube in that it allows members of the public to post their own videos. A great majority of the 6.8 million new videos posted on the site each year probably involve consenting adults, but many depict child abuse and non-consensual violence. Because it's impossible to be sure whether a youth in a video is 14 or 18, neither Pornhub nor anyone else has a clear idea of how much content is illegal. So first of all, we're a broken society that we consider all of this perfectly normal anyway. A society in which it is considered perfectly normal for people to post videos of themselves engaging in sexual congress for the public to view is not a healthy psychological society. It is not. It's a lot of people who are doing performatively unhealthy things. Okay, but, again, it's not just that. It's that there are no lines to be drawn. And unlike Pornhub, unlike YouTube, Pornhub allows videos to be downloaded directly from its website, so even if a rape video is removed at the request of authorities, it may be too late. A woman named Callie said, quote, "Pornhub became my trafficker." She says she was adopted in the U.S. from China and then trafficked by her adopted family and forced to appear in porno videos beginning when she was 9. Some videos of her being abused ended up on Pornhub and regularly reappear there, she said. "I'm still getting sold even though I'm 5 years out of that life," Callie said. Now 23, she is studying in a university and hoping to become a lawyer, but the old videos hang over her. "I may never be able to get away from this," she said. "I may be 40 with 8 kids, and people are still masturbating to my photos. You type it young Asian and you can probably find me." Actually, maybe not, says Nicholas Kristof. Pornhub recently was offering 26,000 videos in response to that search. "The issue is not pornography," says Kristof, "but rape. Let's agree that promoting assaults on children or on anyone without consent is unconscionable. The problem with Bill Cosby or Harvey Weinstein or Jeffrey Epstein was not the sex itself, but the lack of consent, and so it is with Pornhub." So first of all, there can be two things wrong. One is trafficking in sex and demoting it to the degree of a simple bodily function that you should have no spiritual respect for people and treating people as pieces of meat. I'm amazed to see that the same people who worry about the objectification of women, if you use the term miss to describe them, are completely unworried about the objectification of women when they post videos of themselves in the nude on public sites like Pornhub. But beyond that, obviously, it turns out that when you open the doors to certain things, it becomes very difficult to close the doors to others. Pornhub declined to make executives available on the record. They provided a statement. They said, of course, that any assertion the company allows child videos on the site is irresponsibly and flagrantly untrue. It seems like we may have some bigger problems than just what Pornhub allows on the site. Okay, the fact that we have a society that traffics in this kind of stuff and that we now have a system of information available so that people can traffic in this kind of sick perversion is a blight on America. It's a blight on the souls of the Republic. It's a blight on people who use it, and it's a blight on people who download material from it. All right, coming up, we're going to jump into the mailbag. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
information. Other terms and conditions may apply.
Science is not an opinion. People come before pipelines. It's not too late to act on climate. No one is above the law. At Earth Justice, we hold these beliefs to be self-evident. As a national legal nonprofit fighting for your right to a healthy environment, we are 150-plus lawyers representing clients free of charge, because now, more than ever, the Earth needs a good lawyer. No one fights more cases on the environment than Earth Justice. And we win because these are fights we cannot lose. We win for scientists so they can serve at the EPA. We win at the Supreme Court because clean water is for everyone. We win against fossil fuel plants so communities can breathe freely. If you believe what we believe, then help us fight the good fight and help us keep winning by going to earthjustice.org today. That's earthjustice.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We are taking your questions in the mailbag. Go subscribe over at Daily Wire and you have a shot of maybe getting your question answered. Ben writes, "Hey Ben, huge fan of all you do. I'd like your insight on what the difference between a liberal and a conservative is. I watched a TED talk on this, heard it explained as the difference in ranking of values and how this affects if a person was a conservative or a liberal. What are your thoughts?" There are a few key differences between conservatives and liberals. I would say that conservatives believe that there are time-tested values, and that those values have to be shown to be wrong before you jettison them. Whereas a liberal is somebody who comes upon a value, does not understand it, and immediately jettisons it without any thought as to what the consequences of that decision will be. So a liberal tends to see the world as remade anew every single generation. A conservative looks at the wisdom of the past and says, well, maybe it's kind of wise. Chesterton put it this way. A conservative is somebody who is walking in a forest and sees a fence, like an old stone fence in the forest, and says to himself, I don't know why this fence is here. I'm going to go home. I'm going to research why the fence is here before I remove it. A liberal just takes out the crowbar and starts going at it. And I think that's a fairly good description. In terms of sort of belief systems, conservatives tend to believe that the individual trumps the community, that individuals are created in the image of God, therefore they have individual rights, and those individual rights ought to be protected by government. Liberals tend to believe that the only way to facilitate utopia is to have communal power militarized behind a particular agenda. So liberals believe that individual rights come secondary to the community, whereas conservatives tend to believe that individual rights come before the community, at least when you define community as government. And now, conservatives also tend to believe in a strong social structure that is backed by things like churches and social institutions, whereas the left tends to believe that those social institutions are repressive. So there's this kind of weird dichotomy between conservatives who believe that individuals are shaped by the institutions in which they engage, like churches, but that they have individual rights, and liberals who believe that individuals have no rights in the face of the government, but that social institutions are the true barrier to freedom, and therefore government should be directed against social institutions, tearing down all sort of barriers between individuals and the government, therefore creating a confluence of interest between individuals and the governments that supposedly represent them. That's sort of the Marxist view, is that you find your true individualism in fealty to the commune. And that has a long history. It goes back before Marx. I mean, there's some talk about this in Plato's Republic, about how individuals can find true meaning in the polis and all of this. Eli says, "Hey, Ben, I was debating the idea of universal health care with some friends. They brought up the success of Germany. Do you have any talking points about why they would be successful versus the U.S. or why it might not work for us, or maybe even why this may or may not be sustainable in general? I believe they've had this going since 2004. Thanks." Well, let me take a quick look at Germany's healthcare system. So Germany has, I believe, they do not have a UK-style Medicare for All system. So Germany has what is called a universal multi-payer healthcare system, which has both statutory health insurance for people who earn less than a certain salary, which is kind of like Medicaid, and then they have private health insurance for people who earn more and choose to purchase their own. I mean, honestly, the United States is not all that far from Germany. Right? Medicaid does exist for people who earn under a certain level. The difference is that Germany does not tie insurance to your employment. The big problem with the United States is that we tie insurance to employment, which is really silly. The reason we tie insurance to employment is because in the 1940s and 1950s, there were wage and price controls, and that meant that you could not give your employee a raise in terms of pure cash. So instead, you said, okay, I'm going to cover your benefits. And so suddenly, all this was tied to employment, which is a huge problem because obviously when you shift to employment, this means that you could theoretically lose your health insurance. Now we have ways of fighting that, like COBRA, where you can continue to pay the insurance premiums. But The problem is that it is likely that you are not going to be able to afford those premiums for particularly long. Employers and employees pay for most of the healthcare system in Germany through premiums. All workers contribute about 7.5% of their salary into a public health insurance pool, sort of like Social Security, and employers then match that 7.5% contribution, again, sort of like Social Security and a payroll tax. The problem with this, obviously, is that over time, there are going to be people who take advantage of the healthcare system more than others. So one of the big issues in comparing the systems of Germany to the systems of the United States is we are a much bigger country. We have a much more diverse population. That population has much more severe health problems in particular areas, and we tend to access our healthcare system a lot more. So it is not completely transferable. You can't just take a Swedish healthcare model or a German healthcare model or a French healthcare model and then just apply it to a country that is completely different with a wide variety of circumstances. This is a mistake that people make very often when they talk about, for example, the social safety net in Denmark. And they'll be like, oh, look at the people in Denmark. They're so happy over in Denmark. So, okay, well, why don't we take a look at folks who are Danish here in the United States and see how happy they are in the United States. You can't compare Americans to Danish folks and then suggest that they are exactly the same in every way. And therefore, if Danish people are happier than Americans, that is because Denmark is better than America. You're not comparing apples to apples. You're comparing apples to oranges in many cases. The same holds true of healthcare systems. And I believe that Germany has had some overall cost issues. So the cost issues there are, last I checked, fairly significant. So, for example, according to McKinsey, Germany has seen its healthcare costs rise by an average of about 1.4%. In 2007, Germany spent about 10.4% of its GDP on healthcare, which is a lot. It's been rising fairly consistently. So, you know, the notion that any of these systems are cost-free is not exactly right. But listen, we can have conversations about all of these things, but we do have to acknowledge the downsides and upsides of these particular systems. It also happens to be true, again, that if you want a surgery, you come to the United States, that if you want the best brand of healthcare for the best available price at the upper levels, then you're going to end up in the United States because we have the best surgeons, because we develop most of the drugs, because we develop most of the surgeries. Like, there are downsides and upsides to all of these things. Alrighty. Laura says, if Joe Biden does end up becoming president, what are some of the biggest things conservatives need to protect themselves against in terms of his administration? Well, number one, if Joe Biden becomes president, do not give him the Senate. Stop this nonsense in Georgia. Stop it right now. I don't mean stop being concerned about voter fraud. I mean, stop with this crap where you're saying you're not going to vote for Georgia Republicans in Senate elections against two radicals because you're pissed off about voter fraud in Georgia. That doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, talk about shooting yourself in the foot. That's not just shooting yourself in the foot. That's taking a Mossberg 500 shotgun and aiming it directly at your own knee and then blowing your leg off. And what in the world are you doing? You don't want to give Joe Biden control of the Senate if, God forbid, he ends up as president. I mean, come on. As far as what I would be worried about, I'm worried about foreign policy. I think he will cut the military. He has said he will do so. I'm afraid that he would attempt to raise taxes. I'm afraid, more importantly, that he would attempt to quash religious freedom. This is what I'm most deeply worried about. I think that he is going to use so-called anti-discrimination law in order to foster positive rights for LGBT Americans that violate basic religious liberty precepts. I think he's going to attempt to remove 501c3 status from religious organizations if they don't go along with the LGBT agenda. I think that he is going to go after private businesses run by religious people and suggest that those businesses are operating illegally if they do not abide by mandates under the newly interpreted Civil Rights Act of 1965, which somehow now incorporates the idea that men and women are exactly the same. And that's the stuff I'm really worried about. That's the deeply divisive stuff that really has no answer other than the government needs to get the hell out of our business. We'll get to more of this in just one second. First, when you're running a business, HR issues can absolutely kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and HR manager salaries aren't cheap. An average of $70,000 a year, Bambee, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. With Bambee, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month-to-month, there are no hidden fees. You can cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. It's like the least fun part of running a business. Let Bambee help get your free HR audit today. Really, if you don't pay attention to HR, that is one that can come and bite you directly on the rear. You need to get your HR taken care of. Go to Bambee.com/Ben right now to schedule your free HR audit. That is Bambee.com/Ben, BAMBEE.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Get those HR issues taken care of. Bambee.com/Ben. Schedule that free HR audit. Daniel says, I was arguing with my friend about the moral evil that is abortion. I found his argument one I wasn't properly prepared for and was hoping to get input from you as to a proper answer for it. His argument was that with regard to abortion, we all agree that if the life of the mother is at risk, the abortion would be acceptable, which shows that lives are more valuable than others. And his question was that given that not all lives are weighed equally, since we weigh the life of the mother as more than that of the baby, what is the line where the baby's right to life outstrips the rights of the mother's bodily autonomy? Well, the answer is where the baby's going to kill the mom. That's it. End of story. Bodily autonomy is not the issue there. You talk about life against life, and you got to pick one or you got to pick the other. And once that happens, basic morality suggests that you can opt for the life of the mother over the life of the baby. But that has nothing to do with bodily autonomy. Bodily autonomy is a very slight countervailing response when you are talking about the life of a child. When you're talking about incipient human life, the idea like, oh, well, you know, my body, my choice, that is a very weak argument compared to the countervailing interest right there. My body, my choice might be a strong argument for, like, not getting your toenails painted a particular shade. But my body, my choice is not a particularly strong countervailing argument to you don't get to plunge a knife into the skull of a baby in the womb and then suck its brains into a sink. That seems like a pretty weak counter-argument. And Brad says, hey, Ben, Trump has made reference to a potential 2024 presidential run should Joe Biden win. How likely, given his age, do you think a 2024 run is for Trump? What are the chances to even win the Republican nomination? Would you still vote for him? Love the show. Can't wait for my leftist tears tumblers to show up. So if Trump were to launch a 2024 presidential run, obviously he would have a 100% name recognition. He would have, I would assume, still control over a large swath of the party base. Although you don't know where things are going to be in 4 years. It's very difficult to predict 4 years hence what is going to be. Remember, as of like 2015, people were like, look at this strong Republican field. I mean, my goodness, we got all these young bucks. We got Marco Rubio. We got Ted Cruz. I mean, Scott Walker is running. Look at all these wonderful young Republicans who really are up-and-comers. And then in comes Donald Trump and just splats them all like Godzilla versus Bambi. And so I don't know what's going to be in 4 years. If there were primaries tomorrow, Trump would win them because all it takes to get through a crowded primary field is like 30% of the vote. It's also true that because Trump is so heavily popular inside Republican circles, a lot of Republicans have to be very wary about how they treat Trump. And a lot of them are taking sort of the Ted Cruz 2016 strategy, which is I'm going to pat him on the head, and then hope that people turn away from him. By the time that Cruz realized it was too late. And so you can see Republicans doing that all the way to 2024. Like, I love Donald Trump. I want his endorsement. And then Trump's like, I'm running. Like, God. You can see a lot of Republicans doing that. At the same time, I think that if Donald Trump spends the next few years not really doing anything for the Republican Party, and if he spends the next few years not raising money for the Republican Party, not fighting against Democratic priorities, but kind of going off and doing his own thing, and then he comes back in, I think it'll be hard for him to kind of get back the momentum that he had. Right now, there are a lot of Republicans, people like me, who didn't vote for him in 2016, who voted for him in 2020 because he gave us a lot of the stuff that we liked and because the Democrats lost their minds. Well, in order for me to vote for him in a primary, he would have to continue giving me the stuff I like, and he would have to minimize all the things I didn't like about him over the course of his presidency. The latter is unlikely, and the former is unlikelier if he is not president, right? He can't actually do a lot of the things I like. So what would he have to do? He'd have to become presumably an activist on behalf of conservative priorities and not let go. He'd have to tamp down, you know, a lot of the problems that he had with his own electoral strategy, because presumably you want to win in 2024. It also depends on where things are in 2024. So I think it's a little dicey to say that he's the immediate front runner in 2024, given what's going on in 2020. He'd certainly be formidable. There's no question he gathers under virtually any circumstances. There is no question that he gathers 15 to 20% of the Republican base in a primary, which very well could be enough in a crowded primary field. And again, he may crowd out a bunch of people who feel like they have to play nice with him in the hopes that he will eventually endorse them. And then it turns out that he has no interest in endorsing him at all, that actually what he wants to do is just run himself. You could easily see that strategy backfiring on a lot of people. You've seen this with, like, for example, Josh Hawley in Missouri, who eventually wants to run for president. He's been saying it would be great if Trump runs. Would love to see him run in 2024. Okay, what happens if Trump actually runs? Now Hawley can't, and so that could be a problem. Alrighty, we're going to take more of your questions in just 1 second. First, investors, how about a 10% steady real estate-backed monthly cash flow? Have you thought about the only one true supply-constrained asset, real estate? Intelligent, savvy investors need to check out NRIA. NRIA is one of the nation's top specialists, offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted to 21%. With NRIA, you could see a 10% return on monthly payments with bonuses. You can even use that 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today for 10% monthly payouts and bonuses. Every smart investor should consider it. Call now 800-754-83. That is 800-700-5483, or visit NRIA.net. An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net. Are you coming up more of your questions in the mailbag? You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The need has always been there. The need for food, shelter, compassion. This year, it just happens to be greater. If you need help, please reach out. If you can give help, please reach within. In a year with fewer red kettles, your $25 monthly donation helps rescue Christmas for the most vulnerable. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
To me, hope is excitement and relief.
I would recommend the hotline, just knowing that there's someone to talk to vent to that tells you that you're not alone.
I hope it will bring parents closer together.
It's an awesome resource that we have available, and it already has been useful.
Things are different now, but I still love them probably even more than I did before it started.
Give us a call at 530-710-8609.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
89. Science is not an opinion. People come before pipelines. It's not too late to act on climate. At Earth Justice, we hold these beliefs to be self-evident. We're a national legal nonprofit fighting for your right to a healthy environment. Our 150-plus lawyers represent clients free of charge, because now, more than ever, the Earth needs a good lawyer. If you believe what we believe, go to earthjustice.org today.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We are taking our questions in the mailbag, and so we returned to that mailbag. David says, hey, Ben, I'm a huge fan and a new subscriber. Can you please explain why Democrats are so invested in an Iran nuclear deal? So Democrats are fully invested in everything Barack Obama ever did, no matter how crappy or stupid. That is the basic idea. They're also invested in Barack Obama's generalized worldview, which is that the real trouble in the Middle East is not Iran. The real trouble in the Middle East is not internecine conflict between various Muslim sects, mainly Shia and Sunni. No, the real problem in the Middle East is Israel. And if only Israel would make concessions to the Palestinians, everything would be all better. And so Barack Obama's basic idea was force the Israelis to make concessions to the Palestinians and moderate the Iranians by giving them lots of money. So if you take away their whiny points about the Israelis, and if you give them lots of money, they'll become normal and they'll be our friends, everybody. It'll be great. Now, this happens to be a load of bullcrap on a variety of fronts. I mean, Barack Obama was willing to sign an Iran deal that allowed the Iranians to take that money and use it for terrorism and ballistic missile development. Also, as it turns out, it was Barack Obama's own idiotic policies that counterintuitively actually led to a bunch of peace deals between Israel and Arab nations that Barack Obama and his moron Secretary of State John Kerry said would never happen. John Kerry literally said,
there will be no separate peace agreements between Israel and the Arabs. That's just, it's just not going to happen. I know because I've been wrong about every single thing my entire life.
And so why are they, they're always invested in a worldview that is sophisticated but wrong, I think would be the easy answer there. Colin says, hey Ben, I recently had a discussion with a liberal who claimed that the studies have shown an increase in police presence leads to an increase in crime. When you last went on Joe Rogan's show, you said the complete opposite. Do you have any examples or talking points to defend the idea that an increase in policing can decrease crime in a community? There's literally no evidence anywhere in human history that a decrease in policing leads to a decrease in crime, and then an increase in policing leads to an increase in crime. Did this person provide you a study, a evidence, like, at all? Because there's one thing we know, which is that an extraordinary rise in policing across the country in the early 1990s led to a radical decrease in crime all across the country. It was unprecedented in American history. And right now, you're seeing a radical decrease in policing in Minneapolis, and carjackings are up 537% year on year. Murder is up dramatically in major cities across the United States as liberals seek to defund the police. When you increase the police in a particular area, this is one of the most robust findings in all of social science. Read a book by Barry Latcher called The Rise and Fall of Violent Crime in America. When you put police officers in places, people don't want to violate the law as much. Why is this even in any way controversial? That's like saying that if you put an FDA inspector in the kitchen of your restaurant, that you will tend to be a little bit more careful with your cooking. Like, no, really? I'm sorry to tell you that your friend is of low intellectual wattage. That is the dumbest argument I've ever heard, that increased policing leads to increased crime. In what radical world is that true? Joseph says, hey, Ben, since the bias of the mainstream media has been completely unmasked by Trump, and they continue to lob softball questions to their self-proclaimed president-elect Joe Biden, like, what flavor ice cream do you have, Joe? I was wondering, will there ever be a time where reporters from other news sources like the Daily Wire, Blaze, OAN, Newsmax would be able to ask him actual questions at news conferences? Otherwise, I feel it will be 4 years of him fielding questions about his new cat and dogs. The answer is that we can apply for a White House press pass, and maybe we should. I have a feeling that we would not be called on all that often at the White House press conferences. And remember, the media were just outraged every time somebody at the Trump White House would call on any member of the right-wing press. Once in a while, during the Obama era, somebody from like the Daily Caller would get to ask a question, but it was pretty rare. And I really don't think that they would allow anybody to ask seriously tough questions of Joe Biden or his spokespeople, at least not without then calling those people crazy and terrible and awful at their jobs. Kay says, hey, Ben, I recently called in sick to do a mild head cold. When I called in, I was asked multiple times if it was COVID related. When I said no, the manager got on the phone and asked, are you sure it's not COVID symptoms? I just want to make sure you're using the tracker. Beyond being incredibly creepy, how is this not a HIPAA violation? Wasn't the original intended purpose of HIPAA to separate employee health files so that managers could not look at the health records of their employees? That was originally the basic idea, is that you are not allowed to look into the health conditions of your employees under virtually any circumstances. Now, employers could theoretically put conditions. Like, it sounds like your employer is an idiot and doesn't understand how this works. What you can say is that you are not allowed to come back to work. We'll pay you to stay off. You're not allowed to come back to work until you have a clean COVID test, right? You could say that, but to get on the phone and ask specifically, are you sure it's not COVID symptoms or anything like that? That's kind of weird. And honestly, I'm not sure how that does not violate particular HR rules, which is why you should go check out Bambi, B-A-M-B-E-E, your employer. They should go check them out and get some HR on board. Okay. Meanwhile, in other news, we have the news that Joe Biden, we have news about his broken foot. President-elect Joe Biden on Thursday revealed he broke his foot tripping on a rug after a shower as he chased one of his dogs and grabbed its tail. Is he my 4-year-old? I'm unaware. I'm not a dog owner, so I don't know how common it is to jump out of your shower and then start chasing around your doggy to grab its tail. I don't really know how that works. But I guess when you are an imbecilic old coot, I suppose that is a thing that could happen. But honestly, it sounds like more like one of my small children than it does like a near 80-year-old man who the media say is president-elect of the United States. What happened was I got out of the shower. I got a dog. Anybody who's been around my house knows. Little pup dropped a ball in front of me and for me to grab the ball. So I'm walking through this little alleyway to get to the bedroom. I grabbed the ball like this and he ran. And I'm joking, running after him and grab his tail. And what happened was he slid on a throw rug and I tripped on the rug he slid on. That's what happened. Oh, man, not a very exciting story. What? That doesn't, is that in English? And also, is that a thing dog owners do? And also, is this person like a sentient human? He is not all there. And I'm sorry to break it to everybody, but Joe Biden is not all there. So it's going to be an exciting time. I'm looking forward to 4 years of Joe Biden explaining how he broke various parts of his body doing very silly things. It'll be fun. Good times all around. All right. We'll be back in a moment. We'll talk about Joe Biden doing the interview on CNN. Didn't go great. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Vice President Pence telling Americans they can have confidence in the COVID vaccines that are awaiting approval and distribution.
The Vice President said there's been no compromise of safety or effectiveness in the development of a coronavirus vaccine. At a CDC briefing in Atlanta, he said confidence is crucial so that enough Americans will take the vaccine and ensure its maximum effectiveness. Mr. Pence said the FDA could approve the first vaccines within 2 weeks.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston. Fire danger remaining high amid gusty winds and dry conditions in Southern California. Crews there have made progress against blazes that burned several homes and injured two firefighters. The region's notorious Santa Ana winds decreasing slightly. However, red flag warnings of extreme risk still in place for the weekend because of low humidity. Also at townhall.com, Zoom's video conferencing service remains a fixture in this pandemic life, but its breakneck growth is showing some signs of, well, tapering off.
Investors are debating whether the company will be able to build upon its recent success after a vaccine enables people to intermingle again. Zoom's quarterly results for the August to October period show both revenue and profits soared above analyst estimates expectations. However, Zoom's high-flying stock sank 5% in extended trading as the number of additional companies signing up for subscriptions dropped off significantly from the two previous quarters.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Trump administration is suspending all federal student loan payments through the end of January, keeping the interest rates at 0%, extending a moratorium that began early in the pandemic. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
I'm Dr. Baker, an ER physician. If you're having leg pain, swelling, or redness, but haven't talked to your doctor yet, don't wait. This could be deep vein thrombosis, a blood clot which could travel to your lungs and lead to a pulmonary embolism, which could cause chest pain or discomfort or difficulty breathing and be deadly. Your symptoms can mean something serious, so don't wait. Talk to a doctor right away, by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
A number of gun control measures failing to pass a town council in Connecticut. Correspondent Jackie Quinn has more.
There were three gun control proposals before the Newtown Legislative Council, sought by the Newtown Action Alliance, a group formed in the wake of the school shooting that killed 20 children and six educators on December 14th of 2014. The proposals would have banned the open carrying of firearms and the possession of guns at demonstrations or on town property.
Legislative Council deadlocked in 6-6 votes on whether to refer three proposed gun restriction ordinances to the Council's Ordinance Committee. A federal appeals court has ruled that a lower court was wrong to bar the Trump administration from taking $3.6 billion from military construction projects for a border wall. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. America's employers scaling back their hiring last month as the pandemic accelerated across the nation, adding some 245,000 jobs. White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow says the jobless numbers are not good, but the economy is recovering.
Well, look, there's a lot of suffering out there, I agree. But I will also argue the economy has registered a very strong comeback from the peak of the pandemic contraction.
Apparently, Americans could not resist the urge to gather for Thanksgiving. Data from roadways and airports provided to the AP showing the nation's unwillingness to cut back on travel, offering a warning, though, in advance of both Christmas and New Year's as virus deaths and hospitalizations hit new highs.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Black Bear Diner is celebrating this fall with the craze you'll crave.
A craze I'll crave?
Yes. Cheesecake drizzled with pumpkin spice, praline sauce, and chopped pecans. Sip on a creamy pumpkin pie cold brew or savor pumpkin spice pancakes with maple butter for the perfect fall experience. Now for a limited time only.
I'm craving it already.
Black Bear Diner has carryout, curbside pickup, and delivery options.
Start your order at blackbeardiner.com or visit them on site for an outdoor dining experience.
Black Bear Diner.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
As it surges across the country. But we begin at this hour with the fact that Joe Biden just did a really bizarre interview with CNN. I mean, he actually sort of implied in this interview that if he has a disagreement with Kamala Harris, he's going to step down. I mean, I know that everybody sort of glossed over this because it is not certain that he is all there. But that's not a great choice. Either he's not all there right now, or he is all there and he is saying that if he disagrees with Kamala Harris, he's going to retire. Which, not great, Bob. Here is Joe Biden last night on CNN.
Disagree, it'll be just like it's so far. It's been just like when Barack and I did. It's in private. She'll say, I think we should do A, B, C, or D. And I'll say, I like A, don't like B and C. Mm-hmm. And let's go, okay. But, and I, like I told Barack, if I reach something where there's a fundamental disagreement we have based on a moral principle, I'll develop some disease and say I have to resign.
What? You'll develop some disease and say you'll have, like, I understand why he would say that to Barack Obama. He was his VP, but Kamala Harris is your VP. Kamala Harris is sitting there like, yes, yes. She was there for the interview as well. Also, Joe Biden said that he would be focused on making sure his cabinet looks like America, which is code for, here are a bunch of people of various races. I don't really care who they are or what they do, but they look like a nice diversity brochure for the local university. Here's Joe Biden making sure that he creates a cabinet that pleases all the various intersectional coalition constituencies.
This is going to be an incredibly diverse. I'm going to keep my commitment that the administration, both in the White House and outside in the cabinet, is going to look like the country. Every advocacy group out there is pushing for more and more and more of what they want. That's their job. My job is to keep my commitment, to make the decisions, and when it's all over, people will take a look and say, I promise you, you'll see the most diverse cabinet, representative of all folks, Asian Americans, African Americans, Latinos, LGBTQ, across the board.
Okay, so here is the thing. When you say that you're going to hear the arguments from these various constituencies and then you will choose a bunch of people who represent those constituencies, that does not suggest that you're seeking to unify the American public. It suggests that you're trying to cobble together again the coalition of the ascendant. And this was sort of the phraseology used by Barack Obama in 2012 to talk about his newfangled coalition. He was going to please various members of the constituency, and he was going to do so by basically giving them goodies and then suggesting that he was standing in opposition to the evil, evil, evil Republicans. And that's what Joe Biden is trying to do right now. Right? Joe Biden understands he has an unwieldy coalition. He's got a coalition that includes Joe Manchin and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. He's got a coalition that includes Ayanna Pressley and also includes Abigail Spanberger. Right? He's got a coalition of a bunch of very different viewpoints. What unites them? Well, I mean, there's the goodie bag. He can make sure that each individual constituency is given a goodie. But more than anything else, it's going to be animus for you. That's what's going to unite the Democratic Party. It's going to be animus for you. You are a bad person. And so Captain Unity over here, he's not going to be able to unify the country. It's not going to happen. He can't unify his own party with his agenda. He'll try. And he will suggest, for example, that everybody can get together on the same progressive agenda. The problem is that half of that agenda does not cut in favor of half of his constituency. So here is Biden trying to suggest that he's going to unify his own constituency with an appeal to sort of basic progressive politics. It ain't going to work. Here he is talking about how all of the crises we currently face, why it just so happens that his solution is the same to all of them. And that is government power, taxation, and redistribution.
The irony is we have four crises. The first crisis is COVID. Second is the economic close to recession and maybe worse. The third crisis is the inequity that exists and the racial inequity that exists. And the fourth crisis is climate. Ironically, they all work for one another. The first time the American people looked out there and said, my Lord, I guess all those things I heard about, and even though I don't live in neighborhoods that have large black populations, I didn't realize police actually do those kind of things like I saw with George Floyd.
So here's the problem with his theory. So his theory is that I'll just say these progressive things and everybody will side behind them. But the problem is that a bunch of people don't agree with other people inside the coalition. And let's say that you are a Latino American and you're watching Joe Biden basically poo-poo rioting and looting for several weeks there in the name of Black Lives Matter. Maybe you say to yourself, wait a second, I live in a high crime area and I need more police officers in my area. And I don't know why Joe Biden is doing that. Let's say you're a Black American and Joe Biden is saying, let's decriminalize illegal immigration. Or at least other members of the Democratic Party say that. If you're Black, you're saying, wait, hold up a second. So you want people to illegally immigrate into the United States and compete for me with these jobs? Like that's what you want? The agenda items are not, in fact, they're not unifying. Members of the coalition disagree on these issues. So the only way to get these members of the coalition to agree was in opposition to Trump. But let's say that Joe Biden is made president-elect. If he is made president-elect, then Joe Biden will not be able to simply shout about Trump anymore. He's going to have to come up with something new. And this is where things are really going to break out into the open. This is where the battles between Joe Manchin and AOC are really going to start to matter in a fairly serious way. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let us talk about the fact that your teeth, you know, they used to be straight because you had those braces on when you were a teenager and then you got the braces off. They looked all good. And then you stopped wearing your retainer and now your teeth have slipped out of place. But you don't want to put braces back on. You're an adult, for goodness sake. Well, this is why you need Candid Clear Aligners. They are comfortable, removable, practically invisible, unlike wire braces, so you can transform that smile without anybody noticing. Plus, your treatment is prescribed and monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist who's an expert in tooth movement. It's all done from the comfort and convenience of your own home. Candid only works with orthodontists, never general dentists like other companies. Plus, your supervising orthodontist will be with you every step of the way. With Candid, your treatment includes remote monitoring by the same orthodontist who created your plan, so you can't wonder how you're doing. You'll always know. Which is great. The average Candid treatment, just 6 months long. You'll start seeing results way before then. It costs thousands of bucks less than braces. Start straightening those teeth today. Right now, all my listeners can save $75 on Candid's starter kit. Go to CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben. That is CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben. Take advantage of this limited time offer to save $75 on your starter kit. Again, that is CandidCO.com/Ben and use code Ben. Okay, so the battle inside the Democratic Party is going to break out. We've seen a breakout already between AOC and Joe Manchin. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez got very angry at Joe Manchin because Joe Manchin had suggested that she is not doing very hard work. He was talking about how she had posted a photo to Twitter last month in which she was staring daggers at him as he looked away. It was from the State of the Union a couple of years ago. And Manchin said, I guess she put the dagger stare on me. I don't know her. I've never met her. I understand she's not that active with her bills or in committee. She's more active on Twitter than anything else. He says, we're not going to defund the police. We're not for the Green New Deal. That's not going to happen. We're not for Medicare for all. We can't even pay for Medicare for some. Okay, and then AOC responded by getting mad at him She tweeted out, "I find it amusing when politicians try to diminish the seriousness of our policy work, movement organizing, and grassroots fundraising too." She just tweets, "as though serious politics is only done by begging corporate CEOs for money through wax-sealed envelopes delivered by Raven." There's only one problem, which is, of course, that it is AOC's brand of politics that nearly cost Democrats a bunch of purple seats. But that battle is far from over. It's not ending anytime soon. I mean, AOC continues to tweet, and she's not going to stop. And the media love it. Love it. Right, so, for example, last night she tweeted, "The thing these conservative senators don't seem to understand is that I've actually had a physically difficult working-class job without good health care most of my adult life. I bring that work ethic to Congress and to my community. They sit around on leather chairs all day." People are reading that as a rip on Republicans, but that may very well be a rip on Joe Manchin. Because the idea is that she was working a bar when you were sitting on your leather seat in Congress. Well, now she sits on a leather seat in Congress. Second, let me just point out here that the sort of disdain for working class people that even AOC shows, right, which is that if you were really working class, you'd be a Democrat. Not so much. Not so much. So, you know, she talks about how hard it was to, first of all, kind of subtle rip there at Obamacare, because as it turns out, Obamacare passed in 2010 when she was 20 years old. So she's spent her entire adult life, actually, under the regime of Obamacare. So if she didn't have health care, that's Obama's fault. She can go complain to him about it. But beyond that, there's this self-pitying, moaning and whining routine that she puts out there that the media find highly attractive for some odd reason. Now, she talks about how hard it is to be a waitress. I agree. I know a lot of people who have bussed tables. Now, my mom used to bus tables in college. My dad was a pianist at a restaurant for 20 years. And I remember that on the nights my dad was working, my mom would actually drop us off at work with my dad sometimes while she had to go finish up work at the office. And that was a hard job. It was. The difference between my mom and dad and AOC is that my parents didn't whine about that every single living day of their life, or suggest eminent virtue sprang from doing that, or decry an economy that allowed them to rise from bussing tables. My mom is a pretty great American success story, actually. My mom started off with an education degree. She started off waitressing in college, and then she ended up as a secretary at a small film and TV firm and ended up becoming vice president of the firm from being a secretary there. And that's a pretty great American story and a good female empowerment story. But according to AOC, that sort of stuff doesn't happen in America. Well, that Democratic coalition, I don't know that it's going to hold together. I really think it's got some problems. If Republicans don't blow it, which is why Republicans, you got to show up in Georgia. You got to vote for the Senate races. Do not pay attention to the idiots who are telling you to boycott those races. They just want Democrats in the Senate. That can be the only rational reason why they would tell you not to show up to vote against Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff. Don't pay attention to the idiots. Go vote. If the voting begins middle of December, go register to vote, vote absentee or vote in person. Go do it. You can't afford to give the Democratic Party full power. My goodness. In just a second, we're going to be talking with Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee. First, let's talk about something awkward. Erectile dysfunction. It's awkward, right? Well, with Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, discreet. Getting started is really easy. Just go to GetRoman.com/Ben, complete an online visit. ED used to be tough to talk about. Now there is Roman. Complete that online visit today. Connect with the doctor. Get it taken care of. A lot of people get embarrassed about medical issues. I understand. And some medical issues feel embarrassing. But this is why it's important that you have a service like Roman where you can get the medication that you need. You can do it quickly and discreetly. You can do it from home. You don't have to go into an office anywhere. You can talk to a doctor and get what you need by going to GetRoman.com/Ben. Get up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. That is GetRoman.com/Ben for up to $50 off that first month of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/Ben. Again, that is GetRoman.com/Ben. Get up to $50 off that first month of ED treatment at GetRoman.com/Ben. All right, so is that Democratic coalition going to hold together? I mean, honestly, I think the only way that Democratic coalition holds together is if they can continue to dominate the cultural space, is if they continue to shut you up, if they continue to force down and cram down their perspective on you via media, via your company. And if they gain the power of government, they can do that a lot more easily because they can actually change the law to make it more effective to shut you up. They cannot be allowed power. They cannot. And if they are denied power, I think that coalition will crumble of its own accord because there are just too many internal divisions, too much internal dissension inside that Democratic coalition. And Joe Biden, God knows, ain't going to hold it together. Barack Obama's a unique political figure. Joe Biden is not. Biden ain't holding that coalition together. Already coming up, we're going to be joined by Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. She got into a slap fight with a member of the Chinese government journalistic wing yesterday. Plus, we'll ask her about her perspective on those Georgia Senate races. Should Republicans really be sitting out Georgia Senate races in protest at the Trump election 2020? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report, summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
After I came home from Iraq, I could still hear the booms. Makes it hard to be a good mom.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Naomi Mathis, Air Force veteran.
DAV helps veterans get the benefits they've earned.
Thanks to DAV, I was able to begin to heal.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
My victory is being able to be here for my children.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, you may have missed it, but yesterday, Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee got into a spat with a Chinese so-called journalist, which is to say a state apparatchik for the Chinese government, because there's no such thing as independent journalism in China. It made some headlines, and naturally, the left reacted in all the wrong ways, siding, of course, with the Chinese apparatchik, because that's the way things work these days. Senator Blackburn joins us on the line. Senator Blackburn, thanks so much for joining the show.
I am delighted to join you, and you are exactly right. It was fascinating to see the liberals here in this country side with the Chinese when we're calling China out for the way they steal intellectual property from U.S. innovators, the way they try to reverse engineer our automobiles, the way they try to dump products into the U.S. marketplace. And our goal is to protect Americans, to protect the American innovator, the American economy, to keep bad products out of our mainstream here in the country. And who would have thought that the left would side with China.
So, Senator Blackburn, this whole thing started when you tweeted out your support for a bill that essentially thanked that in which President Trump signed a ban on cotton produced by forced Uyghur labor from China. And you suggested that that was a good thing. You said the U.S. will not support companies that profit off of slave labor. And then in a subsequent tweet, you said China has a 5,000-year history of cheating and stealing. Some things will never change, which prompted Chen Weihao, the chief Washington correspondent of the China Daily. It's state-owned, which means he works for the government, to call you a lifetime B-word and suggest that you are a racist. As you mentioned, and as I've said, the media basically came to the defense of this guy, and the celebration on Twitter of him supposedly, quote-unquote, slapping you down was pretty immense. What did you make of it?
It does not surprise me when the Chinese do this. It disappoints me when it comes from the left and from American media. We know that there are companies that are using this cotton that is grown, harvested, goes through the plant. It is done with Uyghur labor, slave labor. And these companies that are benefiting from this slave labor need to stop it. The Uyghurs are the Muslim minority in China, and China constantly violates their human rights. And China should be called out on what they are doing to the Tibetans and the Uyghurs, what they are doing to the Hong Kong freedom fighters. And we, as a nation, as freedom-loving people, should be holding China to account for these actions.
So, Senator Blackburn, meanwhile, on a slightly different topic, President Trump has announced that he will veto the National Defense Authorization Act, which has to be passed yearly, obviously, unless there is some sort of change to Section 230. Is that imminent? What kind of change is he looking for? And is that threat to veto a reality, do you think?
We have the Online Freedom and Viewpoint Diversity Act, which Lindsey Graham, Roger Wicker, and I have, and it is moving forward. It will be marked up in Judiciary Committee next week. And this would take away from big tech the protections under Section 230, but it would preserve those protections for new entrants into the marketplace, new edge providers like Parler or smaller search engines like Bing and Duck and Yahoo. So we are moving forward with that. I fully believe that the president will make certain that we fully fund the military and continue his good work of rebuilding the U.S. military.
A final question for you, Senator Blackburn. So obviously the president's lawsuits with regard to the election continue. And meanwhile, we have these two Senate runoff races in Georgia. I'm just wondering if you wanted to speak to this bizarre theory that's been put out there by some folks that Republicans in Georgia should sit this one out in protest at the ongoing election litigation. No matter what you think of election fraud or what has been going on in this presidential election, it seems like the most insane and counterproductive contention I've ever heard, that Republicans should simply hand those seats to John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock and then control of the Senate to perhaps Kamala Harris to break a tie if, in fact, Joe Biden becomes president-elect.
Well, and I completely agree with you. My goodness, this is just pure ridiculous hyperbole that is coming from some people that Republicans should sit this out in protest. You're talking about the firewall to protect this nation. We have the left. You've got those in the House. You have the Squad. You have Chuck Schumer, who want to put us on a path to socialism, to restrict your freedoms. They say, oh, you want to do it because it will calm things down. Let me tell you something. Democracy is chaotic. It is messy. Having everyone have their voice and all voices heard, that is something that we want to do. And that means all Georgians need to get to the poll and vote. And these Republicans need to get out there. Ben, I say, for committed Republicans, get out there and find five friends a day to go vote. If they would go find those individuals and get them to the early vote, which starts on December 14th, we will win these seats in Georgia, we will prohibit Chuck Schumer from, as he says, taking Georgia or controlling Georgia, and then changing America with these socialist ideas of expanding the Supreme Court and taking away private health insurance and putting everybody on a Medicaid plan and implementing the Green New Deal and removing the Trump tax cuts. And, of course, as Joe Biden has done his entire life, cozying up to China.
Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, really appreciate your time, and congratulations on being seen as an enemy of the Chinese government. That's actually something I think worth celebrating.
Thanks, Ben.
All righty. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Dr. Marty Makary of Johns Hopkins University about the COVID surge that is overtaking the country. What should you be doing to mitigate your risk, and what kind of measures are public officials taking that are simply too stupid for words? You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandeni.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique abilities. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Many accidents are caused by worn wiper blades. Let's face it, it's just uncomfortable when you're driving in the rain, snow, fog, and everything else in between with worn blades. At Premier Oil Change, when you buy one wiper blade, you get the second blade free. Yeah. Now through January 15th, you buy one wiper blade and get the second one free for as little as $14.99. At Premier Oil Change, we make maintaining your car easy. There's no need for an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Just pull in, enjoy a free beverage, and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform a comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park. And our newest location in Anderson, across from Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home with a friendly oil change.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft.
Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
799-5550.
Attention business owners, listen carefully to this important message. Are you tired of struggling with monthly bookkeeping or always being behind? Maybe you're fed up with paying your CPA ridiculously high hourly rates for subpar services. At Finance Pal, we know your pain. We're small business owners who understand your tax and accounting needs. At Finance Pal, we take over your books and design a program custom tailored to fit your needs. Whether it's bookkeeping, payroll, bill pay, inventory tracking, or taxes, we have you covered. We handle some or all of these services for one flat, affordable, low monthly fee. Stop worrying about your books and drowning in paperwork. Let us worry while you focus on growing your business. The setup is easy, and we give you the tools and technology to make your monthly finances streamlined and organized.
Call now at 800-509-3208 for a free business assessment. That's 800-509-3208. 800-509-3208.
Finance Pal, the only friend your business needs.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So obviously, COVID is washing across the nation. We have record numbers of positive tests. We have record numbers of hospitalizations. Joining us on the line to discuss is Dr. Marty Makary. He is surgeon and professor of health policy at Johns Hopkins University and author of the book, The Price We Pay. Dr. Makary, great to talk to you.
Good to see you, Ben.
So why don't we begin with sort of where we stand as a country? I was sort of hopeful before the Thanksgiving holiday that maybe we'd actually hit the downslope here because it looked like we had increased number of cases up until mid-November, and then it seemed to decrease up until the post-Thanksgiving era, and now obviously we're seeing a spike in cases, again, all across the country. It seems particularly relegated to, again, states that were not quite as hard hit the first time around, places like North and South Dakota. Where do we stand right now?
That's right. We're hitting record highs in terms of both hospitalizations and daily death counts. I agree, Ben. We were kind of hoping that the numbers we saw coming out of Thanksgiving represented a slowing of some kind. It represented maybe a slowing from the mass burden of infection out there. Maybe we're not seeing what we call herd immunity, but sort of a mini version of it. But it turns out that we were not headed into a plateau. We probably just had really poor reporting of numbers over the four-day Thanksgiving holiday, and we're continuing our upward trajectory. So very concerning. It's pretty simple how this thing spreads, indoor gatherings, and it's pretty simple who it's affecting. Those in denial who let their guard down and don't really take it seriously.
So what sort of precautions should people be taking? We've seen a lot of talk, for example, about saying that the people shouldn't travel. Now, is the concern that people are going to obtain this while traveling? Because it seems like the data on obtaining this thing on airplanes, for example, is pretty scanty. It doesn't seem like people are getting this traveling itself. Or is the concern that you are just going to be bringing your disease possibly asymptomatically from one state to another?
I think the fundamental mode of transmission right now, beyond sort of places that are still having indoor congregate settings, is visiting a loved one or spending time with a friend indoors in their home and just getting a little too close. You know, ventilation tends not to be amazing in a home. You know, Ben, I was with a cousin last night here in Florida, and I was over at his house. And it was just, it was easy to sort of start breaking rules and get a little closer. We're family, right? We're very close. And the reality is that's where it gets very dangerous. So that's the concern right now. Airplanes are safe. The data is in. Look, as the data has come in, our strategy has to evolve. I talked to a pilot about the incredible use of fresh air and ventilation with HEPA filtering in airplanes. They've done a great job. Look, classrooms stepped up. Classrooms are safe. Airplanes are safe. Beaches are safe. Now, you don't want to, you know, hug somebody for 30 minutes there who you don't know in those settings. You take the appropriate precautions on a beach. It's distancing, and on a plane, it's wearing a mask. But if you do that, it's safe. Now, if you're high risk, if you're 73 with two comorbidities, just play it safe and avoid travel for now, for the next couple months. But for other folks who are low risk, these are things that we can do.
So, Dr. Makary, there's been a lot of talk about the capacity of the hospital system, particularly in California, where Governor Newsom is now looking to shut down apparently literally all the things, including like outdoor dining, playgrounds, places that There is no data that these are places of transmission. I'm sorry, but like kids playing on a playground is not a vector of transmission based on any data that I have ever seen. So number one, what is the risk of hospitals being overrun at this point? And number two, or is that sort of a future problem two, 3 weeks down the road? And number two, what do you make of these sort of blanket lockdown orders that are shutting down open spaces in many cases?
Well, first of all, closing outdoor dining is inconsistent with the science and everything we know about the mechanism of transmission. And I think everyone in the United States recognizes that, except for the extreme reactionary policymakers who came up with that policy. So there's consensus there. That's not good. Now, in terms of, you know, your other point about hospitals, people need to be careful about what they hear in the media when they hear that hospitals are full or near full, because hospitals are normally full or near full. That's how they function. They don't function with much residual capacity. So what we're seeing actually right now is displacement of patients who need routine and elective medical care, which is important for some folks. And in the cities, that capacity is still very strong. In rural areas, it is really bustling at the seams, and I think that's where there's a real concern. I hear from doctors in rural Tennessee and Illinois and West Texas, they can't find a hospital that will accept a transfer, not only for a COVID, a critically ill patient, but for a non-COVID, for a metastatic cancer, for a heart attack patient. That is a real concern, and that is a population being affected right now by the mass run on the hospitals. But it's more the capacity of the staff. It's more that staff are strained. Remember, staff get the infection too. Probably 20% of American hospital staff have gotten the infection, and they take time off of work, and they don't show up. And some are just concerned, and for good reason. If they're older and have multiple comorbidities, yeah, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable showing up to work as an emergency room nurse. So it's we don't have swing capacity like we did in the days of New York in the spring, where you could shift staff regionally in the U.S., because every place is getting hit right now.
Dr. Makary, one of the things that I think has really undermined the public health message is obviously the hypocrisy of public officials. So we talked a second ago about California and the burdensome lockdowns that they're now undergoing. And it seems like nearly every major public official in California has violated their own lockdown principles. We saw Gavin Newsom eating indoors at a restaurant. We saw London Breed, the mayor of San Francisco, eating indoors at a restaurant. We saw Sheila Kuehl, the L.A. City Councilwoman. She voted in favor of shutting down outdoor dining. That night, she was seen dining outdoors. We saw the mayor of Austin saying from vacation in Cabo, having flown there on a private jet, that people should stay home. It seems like the basic principle of lockdowns, which is you are too stupid to handle your own business, cuts directly against people paying attention to the rules. It seems like to me it would have been much better and continues to be much better to say to people, here are the things that you should be doing in order to keep yourself safe. Now act reasonably.
Yeah, look, I think there's a lot of hypocrisy all the way around. I'm sure somebody could find something hypocritical that I've done in, you know, I don't think any of us have been 100% compliant, but I do think that it does give us good reason to say, look, if you're not doing this policy is wrong on its merits. And the fact that you're not following it gives us added reason to point out that the policy is wrong on its merits. I think, you know, the conversation is getting very polarized. First of all, I couldn't agree with you more on everything and everything you've said on this topic, Ben. I personally refer to it more as closures than lockdowns. I think lockdowns may be a term that's a little charged, and it implies kind of welding people in their homes, which actually is what they did in China. And I do think that partial closures for certain indoor settings where people just really don't get it could make sense in the midst of a massive outbreak, like right now West Texas and rural Colorado are just seeing massive outbreaks like no other parts of the country are seeing. In those areas, if it got that bad, I do think partial closures of indoor, at least de-densification requirements, make sense. I don't think it's – look, when doctors speak up, when hospitals speak up, people listen almost regardless of what politicians say. And so we see a life cycle of this virus in the country everywhere where – people sometimes are in denial. The hospitals speak up. Everyone knows a nurse, and a nurse who works at the hospital says, look, we're getting crushed. Local news starts covering it, and then boom, people take it seriously, and then their actions take 3 to 4 weeks to kick in. It's often too late. But that's the life cycle of the virus cycling throughout the country.
We'll get to more of this in just 1 second. First, it is doorbell season, the busiest time of the year at your front door. That is definitely true at my house. With Ring, you can keep an eye on all of the hustle and bustle no matter where you are right from your phone. If somebody stops by, something's going on, Ring lets you know you can see and speak to whoever is there from anywhere. This holiday season is not just the best time to have Ring, it's a great time to give it as a gift. Ring makes a great holiday gift. In fact, when my wife and I first moved, the first thing she said was, you know what, we need to get the Ring devices on the new house, like immediately. We did. It's not just so we can tell what's going on right outside our front door. It's also because I have 3 kids under the age of 7. I can't keep an eye on all 3 of them. I only have 2 eyes. Ring, however, has eyes everywhere to make sure that my kids are doing okay. Check out Ring right now. They've got everything you need to keep an eye on home this holiday season and throughout the year. See and speak to whoever's at that door from anywhere with video doorbells. Keep an eye on every corner of your house with easy-to-install indoor and outdoor cams. And help protect your whole home with Ring Alarm, a powerful, affordable whole home security system you can easily install yourself. For a limited time, go to ring.com/Shapiro for special holiday offers. Again, that is ring.com/Shapiro for that special holiday offer. Go check them out right now, ring.com/Shapiro. So final question for you, Dr. Makary. So right now we are waiting for these vaccines to be rolled out. Supposedly, we're going to have tens of millions of people who've already been dosed with the vaccine sometime in December, about 100 million people supposedly dosed by the end of February. This still seems pretty slow. I mean, we were told several weeks ago that these vaccines were effective, and we were being told that millions of doses were being developed at the time. What's the holdup?
Well, the FDA is taking their good old time in their slow process, and that's kind of how they function. The military was designed to work quickly and respond fast. The FDA was designed to work slow. So what you have right now is a clunky bureaucratic process of something that my research team with my statisticians could do in 24 hours, and that is rerun the data, look at the manufacturing data from Pfizer, which they should have done back when they manufactured it, not now if they fill out a long application. And they should look at the statistical comparison of the side effect severity and rate with the infection severity and rate in both the placebo and the vaccine arm and make a decision. You can do that in 24 hours. They should have done that in 24 hours. It's a national disgrace. It should raise eyebrows when they say, oh, thank you for this application for a vaccine, Pfizer, on November 22nd. We're going to schedule a meeting of our experts on December 10th. What? What the heck? What are they doing? Scheduling around vacations? Tea time? I mean, giving it to Betty to photocopy it, to give it to Bob, to send it to this internal department, to pass it to that internal department. That is the nonsense of the American bureaucracy. I think Americans have a right now to say, why is an American vaccine approved and being used in Britain, but not in the United States?
Well, Dr. Marty Makary, Johns Hopkins University. Go check out his book, The Price We Pay. Really appreciate the time.
Great to see you, Ben.
All righty. Coming up, we're going to get into Facebook policy. Apparently, if you're racist against white people, they're literally saying this now. If you're racist against white people, totally fine. Other types of racism, bad. Racism against white people, men, and Americans. Totally, totally okay. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, investors seeking steady cash flow, ready to diversify. NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted at 18 to 21%. That's right. With NRIA, you could see a 10% return on monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today and receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now, 800-754-83. That is 800-754-83 or visit NRIA.net. An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to be getting to Facebook's new policy, which is largely designed to allow racism against certain types of people. It's pretty incredible. We'll get to that in a moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and shower-to-shower talcum products have been linked to ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by 2 juries to 2 women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help now today at 800-831-6155. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free and you'll pay nothing unless there is a recovery in your favor. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one used talcum baby powder-based products before being diagnosed or died from ovarian cancer, call Talcum Powder Help now at 800-831-6155. 800-831-6155. 800-831-6155.
Alana was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and it's cancer. As a parent, when you're told this type of news, you're going to do whatever you can do for your babies. When we got to St. Jude is when I realized that, no, you're not going to get a bill for anything. I don't have to worry about it. They're saying we're going to help save her. We're not going to charge you anything. This is what we do.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
The need has always been there. The need for food.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, if you didn't trust social media, I mean, you had good reason. So, I can tell you this. Over the past few weeks, we have noticed something odd. Since the election, Facebook has been overtly downgrading our traffic at Daily Wire. I mean, it's very obvious that it's been doing it. I can show you the charts. It's very, very clear. And the reason that Facebook has been doing this is because they started using what they suggested was sort of a qualified news score, which means that they were upgrading all of the mainstream establishment media content and downgrading everything else. And the way that they were gauging what was trusted content and what was not is they were using their special fact checkers. Those fact checkers all happened to be left wing, but the idea was that if you were CNN, you were a true news source, whereas if you were Daily Wire, you were not. And so we saw our traffic plummet even in CNN's rose. Shocker there. Well, perhaps the moral arbiters at Facebook suck at their jobs. Maybe they are really bad at their jobs. Perhaps they actually are immoral. I give you this example from today's Washington Post. Elizabeth Dwoskin, Natasha Tiku, and Heather Kelly writing. Facebook is embarking on a major overhaul of its algorithms that detect hate speech, according to internal documents, reversing years of so-called race-blind practices. See, it used to be that basically they would ban things they perceived as hate speech against white people and black people. Now they've decided, I'm not kidding you, they've decided to ban hate speech basically only against black people but not against white people. Those practices resulted in the company being more vigilant about removing slurs lobbied against white users while flagging and deleting innocuous posts by people of color on the platform. By innocuous, I mean racist posts by black people about white people were getting removed, and racist posts by white people about black people were getting removed. But now Facebook realizes that since black people and people of color are incapable of being racist, it's just not possible, you're allowed to be as racist as you want to be so long as you're doing it about white people. I'm really not exaggerating much here. Here is the Washington Post. The overhaul, known as the WOW Project, is in its early stages. It involves re-engineering Facebook's automated moderation systems to get better at detecting and automatically deleting hateful language that is considered the worst of the worst. The worst of the worst includes slurs directed at blacks, Muslims, people of more than one race, the LGBT community, and Jews, according to the documents. So, not Christians, not white people, not men. As one way to assess severity, Facebook assigned different types of attacks numerical scores weighted on their perceived harm. And the perceived harm. Are you ready? For example, The company's systems would now place a higher priority on automatically removing statements such as gay people are disgusting than men are pigs. Now, you might say to yourself, well, hold up. If you say men are pigs, isn't that harmful to men? No, it isn't. That's just truth. Facebook has said this is not hate speech any longer. Gay people are disgusting is hate speech. Okay. But men are pigs is not hate speech. That's just normal people talking normal people talk. Facebook has long banned hate speech defined as violent or dehumanizing speech. So first of all, my view on this is that none of the speech should be banned. Hate speech, there's no actual category of it in free speech law. If you want to say that you can't harass people on Twitter or on Facebook, fine. If you want to say that you are not allowed to threaten people, totally with it. If you want to say that anything you deem to be hateful can be removed, then you are now entering into the territory of your social betters are going to engineer what people can see. According to the Washington Post, Facebook has long banned hate speech based on race, gender, sexuality, and other protected characteristics. But before the overhaul, the company's algorithms and policies did not make a distinction between groups that were more likely to be targets of hate speech versus those that have not been historically marginalized. Comments like, white people are stupid, were treated the same as anti-Semitic or racist slurs. Well, I mean, technically, that is a racist slur. White people are stupid is a racist slur, in the same way that saying black people are stupid is a racist slur. The hell is wrong with you, Facebook? We all know the answer, of course, and the answer is that white people, you can say whatever you want about white people, or males, or straight people, you can say whatever you want. If you say breeders are disgusting, probably totally fine. The shift is a response to the racial reckoning within the company. Shocker. In the first phase of the project, announced internally to a small group in October, engineers said they had changed the company's systems to deprioritize policing contemptuous comments about white men and Americans. There it is. There it is. So if you say men are disgusting pigs, totally fine. If you say Americans are boors, totally fine. Facebook still considers such attacks to be hate speech. Users can still report it to the company, but the company's technology now treats them as low sensitivity or less likely to be harmful. So they are no longer automatically deleted by the company's algorithms. So before, they just got deleted. Now you have to complain about it. That means roughly 10,000 fewer posts are now being deleted each day, according to the documents. Arisha Hatch, vice president of the civil rights group Color of Change, said that she thought this was long overdue. Quote, to me, this is confirmation of what we've been demanding for years, an enforcement regime that takes power and historical dynamics into account. So here is the Facebook free new hate speech enforcement framework. Okay, you ready? So there's the fair enough content. Okay, they call it fair enough quadrant. This is content that isn't overly damaging, but people agree should come down. Well, if it's not overly damaging, why do people agree it should come down? There's the men are trash quadrant, content on which our enforcement undermines our legitimacy. It's illegitimate to take down posts labeling men trash. If you say women are trash, that should come down. If you say men are trash, totally fine. Then there are the people. There's the people disagree quadrant, content with a high potential of causing harm, but that is contentious. And then there's the worst of the worst quadrant, content that people consistently consider to be harmful to society. Who are these people? Could it be your woke staffers? I'm noticing you're using the word people a lot, but I don't think that the people you're talking to are people like me or my audience. I mean, people you're talking to are conservatives or live in the middle of the country. It's funny. I once had a conversation with a very high-ranking member of big tech. And in this conversation, I said to the person that I was talking to, that this person said, you know, when we determine which content should come down, we have a geographically diverse group of people who determine what content should come down. And I said, okay, when you say geographically diverse, do you mean geographically diverse by state? Or do you mean geographically diverse by county? And they said, by state. And I said, then that's completely useless. Because now what you're telling me is that your geographically diverse group of people could be a programmer in Austin, which is in Texas. It could be a leftist in Nashville. It could be a college student in Lexington, Kentucky. And these would all be blue people, right? At some point here, are you going to, you know, bring a conservative into the fold? Well, we really don't examine the political biases of the people who are checking the content. That's your whole problem. That's your whole problem. You have a monolithic group of people deciding what constitutes hate speech and what does not. Facebook spokeswoman Sally Alges said, we know hate speech targeted toward underrepresented groups can be the most harmful. By the way, how are we defining underrepresented here? And I noticed that this word has no actual definition, underrepresented. Are you talking about in which group? Like inside Facebook? Like you haven't hired enough black people Facebook, which seems like a problem? Or by underrepresented, do you just mean a minority group? As defined by you, presumably. J. She says, we had focused our technology on finding the hate speech that users and experts tell us is the most... Oh, users and experts. Experts. Danielle Citron, a law professor specializing in free speech at Boston University, said, we can't combat systemic racism if we can't talk about it. And challenging white supremacy and white men is an important part of having dialogue about racism. But you can't have the conversation if it's being filtered out bizarrely by overly blunt hate speech algorithms. So in other words, her worldview requires that she call white men racists all the time. And it's going to be marginalizing to her if she can't call white men racists all the time. So Facebook will allow her to call white men racists all the time. Weird how this works. Yeah, I think probably we should not trust our social media overlords to determine what we can and cannot see. As I've said before, I'm not in favor of federal legislation that targets social media. But I will say, you know, I may not be the one to kill you, but I ain't going to save you. You guys are, you're making your bed and you're going to have to lie in it. Because there are not going to be a lot of defenders, free speech defenders like me, who are going to defend you when you overtly violate principles of free speech and then call on me to defend you while you downgrade content from my website because you don't like my political point of view. You can take a long walk off a short pier. Alrighty, we will be back on Monday. Hope you have a relaxing weekend. Stay safe out there. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. A major decision concerning U.S. forces overseas.
President Donald Trump has ordered the Pentagon to withdraw most of the U.S. troops stationed in Somalia, continuing a drawdown of U.S. involvement in counterterrorism missions abroad. In a short statement, the Pentagon said a majority of U.S. troops and assets in Somalia will be withdrawn in early 2021. There are currently about 700 troops in Somalia, training and advising local forces that have been in a long-running fight against the extremist al-Qaeda affiliate al-Shabaab. Trump also recently ordered drawdowns of U.S. troops in Afghanistan and Iraq. Mike Gracia, Washington.
The Trump administration suspending all federal student loan payments through the end of January and keeping interest rates at 0%, extending a moratorium that began early in the pandemic. Also at townhall.com, Democrats and Republicans seem to agree that the fate of the country rides on the outcome of the Georgia Senate runoff elections. Bob Agnew has more.
Now we take Georgia, then we change America, boasted New York Senator Charles Schumer after Election Day. One reason why Georgia Senator David Perdue says,
look, if we win Georgia, we save America.
Perdue tells the Salem Radio Network he's troubled at comments by leftist Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
AOC that same week said, we have to have those two seats in Georgia. We do not want to negotiate.
Especially on the Green New Deal, a $93 trillion program Republicans say would strip American freedoms and socialize the U.S. economy. Bob Agnew reporting.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi expressing optimism both parties will come together to secure a virus relief package prior to Congress leaving Washington for the holidays. Addressing reporters in the Capitol, Pelosi says negotiators have a number of disagreements, but she is very confident. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
I'm Dr. Andrea Russo, a cardiologist. Maybe you're waiting to talk to your doctor right now. But if you're having an irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness, don't wait. This could be a serious condition like atrial fibrillation, which can make you about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. If you're having these symptoms, don't wait. Talk to a doctor by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
The economy adding jobs last month, but far less than expected.
The Labor Department reports employers added 245,000 jobs in November, and while that is a gain, it's the weakest monthly hiring since April. Before the pandemic, the figure would have been considered healthy, but the U.S. economy is still roughly 10 million jobs below its pre-pandemic level, and a rising proportion of the unemployed are describing their jobs as gone for good. Job growth has been slowing for the past 5 months. Meanwhile, the unemployment rate edged down in November from 6.9 to 6.7%. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Trump administration accusing Facebook of discriminating against U.S. workers in favor of foreigners with special visas to fill 2,500 high-paying jobs. Justice Department alleges the tech giant refused to recruit, consider, or hire qualified Americans. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Amid the grief of the COVID-19 pandemic and the lives lost comes an unreal story of a survival of World War II veteran. Here's correspondent Jackie Quinn.
Major Wooten of Madison, Alabama, is certainly one of the oldest survivors of COVID-19. He served in World War II in France, worked for U.S. Steel in Birmingham, had a family, and last month, just before his 104th birthday, Wooten contracted COVID-19. His family says he was given antibody therapy and on Tuesday was wheeled out of Madison Hospital with balloons and workers singing Happy Birthday, Dear Pop Pop 2 days early. His granddaughter says Wooten is physically drained and a little fuzzy, but they're all grateful for the medical workers who helped him reach his 104th birthday. I'm Jackie Quinn.
And more on these stories at townhall.com.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 7 with the Sue McClain News Hour. I'll have your up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by free fire radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
In addition to its own advisory, actually means.
Yes, it's complicated being a citizen in America in the age of the Wuhan Red Death. There it is. That's right, you're from Ohio. You should stay out of Ohio. According to the state of Ohio, who wish their citizens to not travel to certain states, including Ohio. All righty then. Hey, is it Friday already? How did this happen? Another week, they're just flying by like fence posts, ain't they? We are, of course, at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. Georgia in the spotlight again today. Another hearing there yesterday, and the video, doubtless you've seen the video. It's surveillance video. It's not a Quentin Tarantino film, but a little four-way split with surveillance camera video from four different cameras on four different locations in the same room. Giant, get back to me later because I have a few recommendations. Right now, let's go to Sharon calling from Washington, D.C. Sharon, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Chris. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You betcha.
First, I just want to say I can't donate $1 million, but I'll give something. I mean, just I wish I lived so much in a tight rut, but
not everyone can give $1 million. You know, not everybody. Shepard Smith. Shepard Smith can give $1 million. He won't, but he could.
Right. Yeah. But I would like to get your take on it because I already know. I mean, Lord forbid, I don't think that the Lord is going to be that cruel as to allow Joe Biden to get in office. But already he's begging. He's not even there yet, and he's begging for all this money. He's saying we're going to need a lot of money, a lot of money. And so where is he planning on getting all this money? I mean, I know, but, you know, yeah. where is he going to get all that? Shows nothing is going to get done.
Well, it's coming from you, of course, Sharon, and he says that only people that make over $400,000 you're going to see increase in taxes, and that's a flat out lie. That's a debunked conspiracy theory, I think, is what they call it at CNN. He's going to eliminate what they refer to as the Trump tax cuts. It's actually the current tax structure, which means that everybody that received a tax cut under President Trump will experience a tax increase under Joe Biden. But CNN and the Washington Post are going to pretend that that's not a tax increase. The reality is all the money in the federal government still comes from the middle class, not from the top 1% or 0.1%. That's always been a big lie. And when they eliminate what they call the tax cuts under President Trump, that is a crafty and devious way of explaining to you that your taxes are going to go up, but they're not going to call it a tax cut.
Right.
Or a tax increase, rather.
I can't understand why people don't understand that he's going to be too busy paying back all of his donors, Wall Street, the big banks, all the people that donated to him, doing them favors. Of course, you know they're going to want favors.
That's the whole idea. Done.
I don't see why anybody would want to see him in office. I pray that the president. I pray that Trump is successful as far as this voter fraud thing is going. I really do. I just pray that he's successful in getting things overturned because, I mean, I'm sorry. That's just my opinion. Biden is going to be a disaster. He's going to be a complete disaster.
Well, he's an empty suit. He's a classic sock puppet. He doesn't know what day it is, what state he's in, what office he's running for. He is running around naked in his house, chasing a dog, trying to pull its tail, which is kind of a strange thing to do when you're getting out of the shower, and slamming his foot, cobra, cobra, cobra. Joe Biden is loose again, and the Secret Service, Joe was chasing the dog naked through the house and crashed into something. The dog, I've got the audio here. You'll be amused and entertained by it, no doubt. He is, he's an empty suit. He's a shell of a human being, not of his former self, because he was always a shell of a human being. He was always a half-wit. And now he's apparently, according to the Democrats and the media, but I repeat myself, ascending to the American presidency without even having campaigned. And you said you don't know why anybody voted for him. According to what I've seen in the media and heard from Joe Biden, he received a record number of votes in the history of the United States of America, and that probably means for any country that has legitimate elections, assuming that we still have legitimate elections, that would mean probably the most votes for any single person in the history of legitimate elections, you know, China and Russia.
Yeah, legitimate, right, but I'm not talking about people like from Germany where the machines came from, Germany and China, you know, those fixed machines. Getting all those fake, phony votes. And I'm saying, I mean, this is just way too important for people to just say, okay, to certify these fraudulent votes and just be done with it. No. They should audit every single one. And if he's legit, okay. But
that's right. Mm-mm. That's right. Yeah, but there have been so many red flags that it is incumbent upon us as citizens and taxpayers, as Americans, and certainly it is incumbent upon our political leaders as well to run every one of these allegations to ground. And that goes from the Justice Department to state bureaus of investigation to governor's office, secretaries of state, and so on across the country need to take a very, very close look at what happened this year and maybe what's happened in past election cycles as well. Because I suspect, in fact, I believe, that a great deal of this is perfectly normal for Democrat cities like Philadelphia, and I know it is in Chicago, and there are other cities that are trying to compete with the most corrupt Democrat cities, cities like Detroit and Milwaukee and now Las Vegas, Nevada, and others, Atlanta, Georgia, Fulton County.
It looks like there's a great deal of corruption there as well, a great deal of corruption there. Sharon, thank you for calling in. Very nice to hear your voice. I know not everybody can give $1 million. I was reading today, I think it's in the Washington Post, but thanks for calling, and have a great weekend, Sharon. The Washington Post today has a story. The reason I mentioned Shemp Smith is that Shemp, you know, he was always terrible on Fox News, and he's a freakazoid in like five different ways to begin with. But he went over to CNBC when Fox, I guess, let him go. And according to the Washington Post now, his first, and this has been true throughout since he went to CNBC, nobody's watching his show. I mean, it is just in the tank. It is not just in the tank for the Democrats, but the ratings are in the tank. And nobody's watching the show. But according to the Washington Post, they're paying him $10 million a year, paying him $10 million a year to do a show that nobody watches. Television is a funny place, isn't it? Yes, it is. All right, we've got a lot of good stuff to get today, and a lot of it has to do with the voting and all that good stuff as well. There are a number, and there are not a lot of them at this point, but there are a couple of Republicans that are beginning to step up and raise their hand and say, you know, there is a problem with what we're seeing here, and we need to get more deeply into all of this. And one of them is a congressman by the name of Mo Brooks. Mo Brooks is a Republican member of the House of Representatives from Alabama. And Mo Brooks was on the television this morning on the Fox News channel. Mo Brooks is concerned enough that he is insisting that we take a deeper look here. And he is, you know, he sounds like he's trying to do the right thing, which means that he'll probably be shot down. Certainly the news media is going to shoot him down and the Democrats. But I repeat myself. Mo Brooks of Alabama will object to Biden's Electoral College votes in the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., is the big story out of Mo Brooks from the last 24 hours. And he is going to, you know, there are a lot of it. We have a wonderful and beautiful Constitution. And there are provisions in there, if you know how to read the Constitution, that allow for state legislators and state legislators to intervene should there be rampant corruption, as in Philadelphia, Detroit, Milwaukee, several other locations around the country. And Representative Mo Brooks, not Mel Brooks, but Mo Brooks from Republican from Alabama, says he will challenge the tally of Electoral College votes when Congress officially certifies the results of the presidential election on January 6th. On January 6th, you know, the special election in Georgia is on January 5th. I assume that Fulton County will be counting votes for about 8 weeks after that, because it seems to be their thing. Let's go to soundbite number 17. If we could, Michael Piercy. And Mo Brooks, the Republican from Alabama, this morning on the Fox News channel, talking about what he's been watching.
Well, I'm going to do it, quite frankly, because in my judgment, we are witnesses to the largest voter fraud and election theft effort in the history of the United States of America.
And if that doesn't bother you, then you're a Democrat, I think, is the short version of that. Mo Brooks, but, you know, Mo, what kind of evidence is there?
The evidence that I've seen is overwhelming that the socialist Democrats have gone nonstop to engage in voter fraud and election theft, and we have to stop it on behalf of our country.
The socialist Democrats? Oh, no. See, CNN is just going to tisk, tisk. Oh, that's so extreme. That's such a... Of course, they call themselves, social Democrats and Democrat socialists and the AOCs and the death squad and all of that. Mo Brooks says he's talking to other members of the House of Representatives about this, too.
There are clearly a growing number of members of the House of Representatives who are going to join in this effort. I've not spoken with any senators, and with respect to the House members, they came to me. I didn't ask them to help. And no, I've not spoken to anyone in the White House other than seeing the president's tweet, and I responded to the tweet thanking him for thanking me.
The president thanked him, and then he thanked the president for thanking him. You know, I'd say that there is a growing number, not are a growing number, but that's a minor thing in the scheme. And Mo Brooks looking for, at everything, including the machines.
Well, I spoke with Congressman Jody Heiss last night on the House floor, and he showed me a video of what appears to be blatant stuffing of voting machines with thousands of ballots that were hidden in suitcases under a voting table at a precinct where the Republican poll watchers are ordered to leave after having left. The Socialist Democrat poll workers appear to go underneath that table, pull out suitcases full of ballots, and for the next 2 hours are stuffing them into machines.
If that's not a problem with you, then you're probably a Democrat. Now, again, that's being disputed, and I'll get into that in some more detail. Congressman Jody Heiss is a Republican member of the House of Representatives from Georgia, Georgia's 10th District, and I met him. I had a chance to meet him and spend a little time with him at CPAC. Earlier this year. Great guy, very nice guy. We had a lot of laughs backstage and on stage. We were on stage together, Congressman Jody Heiss and myself, a very nice man. Congressman Mo Brooks, he's in Georgia. We're looking at the machines. We're looking also at Nevada and beyond.
You can see what's happened in Nevada, where they've itemized over 90,000 illegal ballots, 40-something thousand people have voted twice.
Why would that be an issue? That's not. Is that a problem? People voting twice? How about dead people voting? Is that a problem? Because a lot of dead Democrats voted, or a lot of dead people voted Democrat this year in any event. And as I mentioned, we're also raising money for Fisher House today and tomorrow. The number for you to make a very generous contribution is 888-294-8560. And coming up from Fisher House, I've got Trish Stropes on the line. You want to hear from her? And you want to give that $1 million. Or call your billionaire friend. Tell them to give the $1 million. I'll buy you lunch.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
You've all probably heard of asbestos and know that it's dangerous. You may also know that exposure to asbestos is the only known cause of mesothelioma, a deadly cancer. People who were exposed to asbestos decades ago are being diagnosed to this day with mesothelioma. That's because it can take as many as 30, even 50 years to develop. But did you also know that there's money to pay victims of asbestos exposure from years ago? An estimated $30 billion is available to help compensate victims and their families. If you or a member of your family have been diagnosed with mesothelioma, you may be able to receive some of this money without ever going to court or filing a lawsuit. Get a free legal review today. Call Sokolov Law at 1-800-916-5200. The number again, 800-916-5200. 800-916-5200. Call today, 1-800-916-5200.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply.
Are you the parent of a 2 to 7-year-old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the Parents' Choice Award-winning online learning program that's actually changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month. But you have to go to abcmouse.com/radio to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/radio.
We've always had villains to face.
Bad guys to take down.
But you? You are the most horrible of all.
We're not here because we have to be.
We're here because we've had enough of you.
We all have the power to do something.
To stand up to cancer.
Every single one of us is mortal.
But inside of us, we're all heroes.
So stand up with us. Stand up to fight.
Stand up to cancer. Visit standuptocancer.org to learn more.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you: printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Some gifts don't come wrapped in packages with bows and ribbons. They aren't hidden away, then torn into with reckless abandon. Some gifts are needs, like food or shelter, and those can be the most precious of all. In a year with fewer red kettles, help rescue Christmas for those facing poverty with a $25 monthly donation. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
All right, we're back, and today is the day that we're asking you to contribute your hard-earned money to the wonderful people at Fisher House and the Fisher House Foundation, a wonderful family, just the greatest organization. So thrilled to work with Fisher House once a year. And so far today, you, our wonderful listeners, have contributed more than $148,000, $148,871 so far today. And I'm still looking for that million-dollar grab. But on the phone right now, we have the Vice President of Strategic Initiatives for Fisher House, Tish Stropes, who's a wonderful person doing great stuff. And also your husband, retired Air Force, career Air Force, as I understand it. And you are in charge of the Hero Miles and Hotels for Heroes programs for Fisher House. Tish Stropes, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Really appreciate everything you and WMAL are doing to make this possible today.
Well, thank you. You people are just the greatest, and you know we love Fisher House, and we try to break our record every year and bring in more and more, and listeners in this area just do an incredible, incredible job. Now, what do people need to know about the Hotels for Heroes and Hero Miles programs?
Sure. So I'll talk about Hero Miles first. Basically, our Hero Miles program, we are bringing family to the bedside of our wounded, injured, and ill, and getting folks to continued recovery programs by flying them to those programs. To date, we have booked over 78,000 round-trip airline tickets, which means we've really made an incredible impact in doing so. And the program runs by the generosity of our listeners and those folks who are flying the friendly skies. They can donate their airline miles, and then we take those airline miles and book airline tickets with them. So donating your airline miles, and our Hotels for Heroes program does something similar. When our Fisher Houses are full and at capacity and we can't put a family in a Fisher House, then we're able to put them in a hotel. It's almost, you know, that remote Fisher House, you can say, until they're able to move into a Fisher House, and it operates in the same way. Donating your hotel points, wherever you are a loyal, you know, whatever hotel you're a loyal customer to, you can donate those points, and then they go to help us book hotel rooms for those families that are having a medical crisis and in need.
And, you know, the matters of war around the world are not very much on the front pages at this moment in time with everything else going on, but we have thousands of troops in Afghanistan, thousands in Iraq, we have hundreds in Syria, and we have troops in harm's way all over the world. And we also, you got to keep in mind, a lot of these battle injuries and associated wounds and injuries require years of recovery and sometimes dozens of surgeries. And you might have to move around the country from Walter Reed to Lackland in Florida to, you know, depending on what your particular medical issues may be. And your family, you know, young troops may have young wives and young kids. You may have parents that need to get from place to place. And again, not always rolling in wealth. And this, the Fisher House organization is just, the Fisher family, I know, saw that there was a gap in the care and treatment and rehabilitation of our troops. In that, okay, we've got the healthcare system and the VA healthcare system and the families, well, you can come and visit, but you're on your own. And the Fisher family said, well, that will not be allowed to stand. So they stood up Fisher House, right?
That's right. And, you know, we are all about bridging that gap, making sure that we are taking care of these families, these active duty service members and veterans. It's not just the active duty. It is our veterans as well that have served, and ensuring that we are there to remove those burdens when they need it most, because that's the least that we can do.
That's right, because that's the least that we can do. And the phone number is 888-294-8560. And give, if you can give $5 or $10. If you can give more, that's wonderful. Tish, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being who you are and working with this wonderful organization, Fisher House, 888-294-8560.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.